I call the December 10th, 2024 special session of the Ulster County Legislature to order. Please rise for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Please be seated. It's with gratitude and humility that I acknowledge that we are gathering on the ancestral homelands of the Mohican, Munsee Lenape, and Skaticook people, who are the indigenous peoples of Ulster County. To learn more about these tribes, past and present, please visit links available through our QR code. I call on Clerk Favella to read the announcements and call the roll.
Announcements. Fire evacuation plan. Please note that in the event of an emergency, the fire department has requested that legislators and all others move at least one block away from the county office building in order not to impede the firefighters in their duties. Cell phones. Please silence cell phones for the duration of the public hearings and special session. Microphones. Please be reminded to use your microphone when you are speaking so that you are recorded for the official record. Roll call. Clinton.
Here.
Collins.
Here.
Corcoran. Criswell.
Here.
Donaldson.
Here.
Guevaras. Green.
Here.
Hansett.
Here.
Harmon.
Here.
Hewitt.
Here.
Kitchen.
Here.
Kovacs.
Here.
Levine.
Here.
Litz.
Here.
Lopez.
Here.
Maloney.
Here.
McCullough.
Here.
Nolan.
Here.
Roberts.
I am here.
Sperry.
Here.
Stewart.
Here.
Uchitel.
Here.
And Walls.
Here.
There are 21 present and 2 absent.
Tonight we have 5 public hearings. I want to remind everybody that you have 2 minutes to speak. We encourage you to speak, and we ask that everyone keep their comments respectful. Clerk Favella, can you call the first hearing?
Absolutely. Our first hearing tonight is on proposed local law number 14 of 2024, a local law amending the Code of the County of Ulster, Chapter 232, Living Wage, in relation to applicability and compensation.
Thank you. And do we have anyone signed up to speak?
There is one speaker signed up, and that is Cheryl Snyder.
Except I know that a year and a half ago, one of our legislatures actually did a lot of research, and two of them came up with somewhere about $25 an hour is what somebody would need to make to actually live here. So I am going to comment on this because I just found it, and we're going up to $17.70, I see. Also, I believe if we still have all of the responsibility on the lowly paid employee, and let me tell you, they're all very, very afraid to lose their jobs, for them to snitch on their employer if their employer is not doing the right thing, that will guarantee them in this very tiny, tiny, tiny universe that they never work in their industry again. So I think that there should be compliance and that people should be going out to these large, multi-million-dollar locations that get all of our money and make sure they're being compliant and not put that on the $17.70 an hour worker who can barely help mom keep her house. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have anyone else signed up to speak?
We do not.
Is there anybody here who would like to speak on proposed local law number 14? Anybody else here who would like to speak on proposed local law 14? And a final call. Seeing none, do we have a motion to adjourn?
Mr. Chairman, I will make a motion to close the public hearing.
Thank you. And a second? Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Clerk Favella, could you please call the second public hearing?
Tonight's second public hearing is on proposed local law number 15 of 2024, a local law amending the Ulster County Charter and the Ulster County Administrative Code by deleting Article 44 from each and amending the Ulster County Charter and the Ulster County Administrative Code with respect to Article 43, Safety Department.
Thank you. And do we have anyone signed to speak?
There is no one signed up.
Is there anybody here tonight who would like to speak on this issue? Yes. Ms. Snyder.
Oh, goody, the charter. I actually tried to do some homework and find the actual language to each of these charter amendments. Couldn't do it. Could very easily find the legislation that calls for the public hearing. I could read summaries, I could read news articles, but I couldn't actually find the legislation. So I was one of those people who voted no, 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 because I don't vote on what I don't know, and I think it's a horrible, horrible, horrible precedent that this stuff is in front page, sent out to every town to put on their websites, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and spread far and wide. This is our charter. This is how we self-govern. So I wanted to say that that's a real problem, and you're going to hear me on the budget about that as well. Thank you very much. Oh, I just also wanted to say that it's horrendous that I'm one of the few people who's engaged in what's going on. Maybe a lot of people back channel, maybe a lot of power brokers call up their folks. I don't know how it happens, but I don't know why people aren't encouraging their constituents to make public comment on stuff. Are we all so complacent? I don't know. I don't know. I hope maybe even 17 people will watch this afterwards, a bunch of people running it 1,000 times over. But maybe there are going to be people who will start coming and realizing that our input really does matter. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who would like to speak on this subject? Anybody else who would like to speak on this subject? And a third call for anybody who would like to speak on this subject. Seeing none, do I have a motion to close this public hearing?
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to adjourn the public hearing.
And a second? Thank you. All in favor? Any opposed? Thank you very much. And we're moving on to the third public hearing.
Tonight's third public hearing is on proposed local law number 16 of 2024, a local law amending the Ulster County Charter and the Ulster County Administrative Code by renaming Article 16 from the Department of Purchasing to the Department of General Services.
And do we have anyone signed up to speak on this?
There is no one signed up.
Is there anybody present who would like to speak on this? Anybody present who would like to speak on this? And a third call. Anybody present who would like to speak on this? Seeing none, I call for a motion to adjourn this public hearing.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to close the public hearing.
And a second.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor? Aye. Any opposed? Thank you. Clerk Fabella, could you please call the fourth public hearing?
Tonight's fourth public hearing is on proposed local law number 17 of 2024, a local law applying the salary revisions pursuant to the 2025 Ulster County budget to county officers serving for fixed terms.
And is there anyone signed up to speak?
There is one speaker signed up, and that is Ms. Cheryl Snyder.
Hello, good evening again. I wish I didn't have to be the lone voice in a lot of this stuff. Most of you in this room do not have minimum hours a week that you're required to do your job. Some of you go way above what's expected of an elected official. I'd say it borders on activism, and you know, a lot of us are activists, and hardly any of us ever get any compensation whatsoever. So I think people have to get real about what's their job and what's not their job. And what they do as extracurricular is not something for us to pay. I wish that my income had gone up over the last 10 years the way the income of the representatives sitting in this chamber's income has gone up. I recognize that people do put in the hours, but it is an expectation that people have other things going on, like jobs, businesses, maybe multiple gigs. I don't know. I've always worked multiple gigs. My spouse has always worked multiple gigs. I have a business and I work gigs too. You do what you got to do. So the fact that you want to give yourselves more money and you think a living wage is $17.70 an hour for our people who deliver the services that we outsourced like 15 years ago, so we didn't have to give them pensions and really good benefits like everyone else gets, I think it's actually very difficult to tolerate. And I don't think I speak alone. I don't think I speak just for like one party. I don't think I speak for just older people. I don't think I speak for just white people. I don't think I speak for whatever groups that I might or might not be part of. I think I'm speaking for the pain and suffering that's going on right now and the tone deafness that is what's going on up on the sixth floor, but thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on this subject? Anyone else who would like to speak on this subject? And a third call for anybody who would like to speak on this subject. Seeing none, I call for a motion to adjourn this public hearing.
Mr. Chairman, I will make a motion to adjourn the public hearing.
And is there a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. And Clerk Favella, can you call the fifth and final public hearing?
Tonight's fifth and final public hearing is on proposed local law number 18 of 2024, a local law applying salary revisions for certain elected Ulster County officials serving for fixed terms.
And is there anyone signed up to speak on this?
There are three speakers signed up on this one. The first speaker is Mr. Hugh Reynolds.
Legislators, in 50 years of journalism, I have never spoken to you as a group. I don't want to begin now. All I can say is, that's all I can say, quite frankly.
Thank you. And the next speaker?
The next speaker is Anthony Fitzpatrick.
I'm Anthony Fitzpatrick. I live in Port Ewan. I can only speak for myself, but I'm here tonight to implore you to increase the salary of legislators. I've never been a county legislator, but I hold an elective office on a legislative body, and I would wager your service comes at a similar personal cost, a cost that can't be quantified in a dollar amount. It's just a fact of society that tomorrow will cost more than yesterday. To keep pace is simply the right thing to do. Aside from that, it should be seen as a significant issue that this work is paid or viewed like a side hustle. I want my elected officials laser-focused on researching issues and serving the people with minimal cost to not only themselves, but to their families. To the extent that there is some, it would be great if there were more young parents, economically disadvantaged, even disabled, should have more of a voice in this body from time to time. A 12% increase doesn't exactly swing the doors open for those populations, but the original 137% may have. This important work cannot be exclusive to those who are well off and retired. Finally, I want to remind this body that this pay increase is not yours any more than that seat or the district you serve. You merely steward it. I implore you to do the right thing. If not for yourself, then for your successor. If you can't vote for your own self-interest, vote for a donation you intend to make for your community. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
The last speaker signed up is Cheryl Snyder.
Hi again. Anthony, I definitely think that people should get paid what they're worth, but this is not a full-time job. It's not even close to a full-time job.
Yes, Ms. Schneider, please.
I'm sorry. I will address the body. And this is a misnomer that a lot of people have. I am not an affluent person. I never have been. I had no generational wealth. My spouse and I made $73,000 last year together. I am not poor, but I am somebody who's probably pretty normal in this county. And I don't know if you – I read an article about like $500-something dollars an hour for what's required of the meetings and attending sessions. And I know people put in more time than that. And, you know, I do lots and lots of uncompensated work in my business and my gigs. Lots and lots of uncompensated work, but I have to do it because it's the right thing to do. I say until every single person who works for the county or delivers services under contract for the county is making a living wage, then you can look at raising up your honorariums, because that's really what they are. And they come with health insurance buy-ins. And even the Teamsters, no longer in Central New York, no longer get health insurance in retirement. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anybody else signed up?
Yep.
Is there anybody else who would like to speak on the subject? Anybody else who would like to speak on this subject? And a third call for anybody who would like to speak on this subject. Seeing none, do I have a motion to adjourn this public hearing?
Mr. Chairman, I will make a motion to close the public hearing.
And a second?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. We are now going to move into public comment regarding resolutions on the agenda. I want to remind everyone that you have 2 minutes to speak, and this period is on resolutions before the legislature this evening. We encourage you to speak, and we ask that everyone keep their comments respectful. There will be a time to speak on issues not before the legislature toward the end of the session. If you need a reference to the agenda, we have our QR code available. Clerk Fabella, do we have anyone signed up for public comment?
We do. We have one speaker signed up, and that would be Ms. Cheryl Snyder.
Is there anybody else who would like to speak on issues before the legislature this evening? Anybody else who would like to speak on issues before the legislature this evening? And a third call for anybody who would like to speak on issues before the legislature this evening. Seeing none, I'm going to move us along into resolutions.
Yes. I'd like to make a motion to block the procedural resolutions tonight. They are resolutions 617, 618, 619, 620, and 623.
I'll second that, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. All in favor of that?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. On the block, please.
On the block, we're short, yes.
That's okay. Thank you.
The resolutions are adopted 21-0.
Thank you.
The next resolution on the agenda is Resolution 621, adopting the Ulster County budget for fiscal year commencing January 1, 2025, and making appropriations for the conduct of county government.
Majority Leader Yushito.
I'd like to make a motion to propose to adopt the amendments that passed Ways and Means unanimously. They are amendments 3, 10, 19, 22, 23, 24. Sorry, let me start over there because 19 didn't pass unanimously, but I'll get to that in a second. They're 3, 10, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 35, 37, 38, 40, 41, and 42. Those are all pages 1 through 7 on your sheets. And then we're also going to be adding to that number 19, which can be unanimous tonight, I believe, which is on page 10 on the sheet.
I support that.
Thank you. And on the motion to block,
The motion to block, we're short, yes?
Short, yes. Thank you. And on the block?
On the block, we are short, yes.
Short, yes. Thank you.
The amendments are adopted 21 to 0.
I'd like to move to adopt Amendment 21 as presented.
And Minority Leader Roberts, will you second that?
I'll second that.
Thank you. And any discussion on that?
I'm just trying to locate it.
Page 8.
This, just to, can I?
Yes, yes.
Just to clarify, this one passed Ways and Means unanimously, but needs to be amended as presented.
Thank you very much. Yes, Legislator Collins.
I was going to say the same thing. I'm going to explain the, because Legislator Gavaris is not here. He changed the title to more reflect what his vision of this job is.
Thank you. And on that, I'm sorry. Yes, Legislator Maloney.
I was there for most of these, but who, can I just ask who, why wasn't this, who voted against this?
No one voted against it. It needed to be amended,
oh,
so we couldn't put it in the block.
Yeah.
So clarification, this was in the unanimously approved by Ways and Means Committee. It was just, this amendment is to amend the title, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. On that amendment?
On the amendment, we are sure, yes.
Sure, yes.
Thank you.
And on the amendment as amended.
Okay, we'll get this. On the amendment as amended.
On the amendment as amended, we are sure, yes.
Thank you. Short, yes. Okay.
I'd like to propose that we adopt amendment. I move to adopt Amendment 34 as presented. It was unanimously advanced by Ways and Means and needs an amendment on the floor. So I'm moving that we amend it as presented.
Minority Leader?
I'll second that.
And on that?
On the amendment, we are short yes.
Short yes.
Exactly. I got it. Now on the amended amendment. This is going to become a tongue twister night, I think.
On the amendment as amended, we are short yes.
Short yes.
Thank you.
The amendment is adopted as amended, 21 to 0.
I move that we adopt amendment, proposed amendment number 9.
Minority. Second that.
On the amendment?
On the amendment, we are a short yes with one no, Legislator Nolan.
Short yes.
I'm sorry, I saw Legislator Maloney's hand.
This is 9?
9, yeah.
Correct.
I'll be abstaining from this. I spoke to the clerk right before the meeting. Is this, is this the one I discussed with you?
This is absolutely the one you're abstaining.
Got it. Thank you, Legislator Maloney. So I'm going to ask you again.
So we're short yes with one no, Legislator Nolan.
Thank you.
Short yes.
Thank you.
The amendment is adopted 19 to 1 with one abstention, Legislator Maloney.
I'd like to move that we adopt proposed amendment number 12.
I'll second that.
Thank you. And on the amendment?
On the amendment, we're short yes.
Minority Leader Roberts.
Yes, I'd like to speak on this, if you don't mind, Mr. Chairman.
Certainly.
This one was amended in committee to drop 3 full-time bus stewards down to 2. It's very open-ended what these positions actually do. It could be anywhere from helping the elderly handicap onto the bus, carrying groceries on or off the bus, being a bodyguard for the bus drivers, and or I even heard cleaning up urine in the back of the bus. I believe that this should be put off and given more thought going through the committee process. So I'm going to be a no on this one.
Legislator Maloney followed by Legislator Nolan.
I don't necessarily disagree. In committee, there was a fairly long conversation about, I think we started out saying with certain legislators saying they didn't want this to be any kind of a peace officer or have any authority to get involved with something that maybe would require law enforcement. But then we have, you know, issues on some of these buses. I think a lot of it has to do with mental health. But at the same time, if you're going to have somebody on the bus, I know there was charges where there was a mother and children recently on the bus, and there were allegations of indecent exposure and urinating in front of the kids. So I do think we need to figure out what this person's going to be. Are they going to have some kind of authority to get involved and intervene? I think it could be a deterrent to some of this behavior, depending on the routes that I'm talking to either individuals that ride the bus or bus drivers themselves. I hear very different experiences depending on the routes, but there are a few routes that need a little more than just somebody sitting there bringing, you know, ready to bring groceries off the bus. And as we started to talk about it, I realized there needed to be far more specifics before we should be probably approving this. And I think this and many other things are examples of we should probably take a quick deep dive. I think 1-2-3 hour meeting, a subcommittee of a transportation committee or DPW, you could hammer down to the bottom of this. You could get people that are riding the buses. You could get bus drivers there. We could figure out what this person's going to be. Is it going to be civil service? Will they have a title? Is the title out there? This is just not any of that. It's just somebody's going to ride the bus and help people out. And I think we probably should do a little better than that and do our due diligence before we go ahead and approve this.
Thank you. Legislator Nolan.
Yes, there has been some discussion of this, and this is a type of position that the riders of the bus very strongly favor. And there is support for this among the Ulster County Area Transit Department. So there really is a need for something, and this position budget creates the opportunity for us to fill that. I think there is room for consideration of whether additional people with additional services are needed, starting with two people that can be hired and put on buses right away, I think responds to the perceived need for that. There have been situations in which there have been additional staff on buses in the past, and it has always worked very well. So I do think we need to figure out exactly what it is, but doing this is doing something, and it's clearly responsive to a need and a request, and it's a reasonable amount for us to invest in a system that we have been building up that is seeing increasing ridership and that we want to see increasing ridership for a host of reasons.
Legislator Maloney for a second time.
You know, I just heard that the riders of the buses have had a lot of input on this. I speak to a lot of different riders of the buses. In fact, I've spoken at length with the mother and the three kids and the father who wasn't there that had the experience I just mentioned before. You know, we created a position in the controller's office a couple of years ago that was supposed to start doing surveys and really trying to get down to the services we're providing both as county employees and when we're hiring a firm to go and work with people and many in DSS or Office of the Aging. And we were supposed to get an idea on how programmatically we were doing. And there were supposed to be surveys. We talked about surveys a lot. And I remember mentioning just a couple of years ago that I'd like to start with UCAT and do some surveys and talk to the riders and get some real data on what they need, what they want, what their concerns are. And I just think this would have been an excellent opportunity to take that position, to do these surveys, and almost really leave it up to the riders. Not just say we've spoken to the riders, but actually speak to the riders and figure out what they need. And then when we create these positions and we hire these people and we train them, I don't even know what we're going to be training them on, what they're supposed to be looking for, what the issues we really have. And I don't know how they're supposed to hit the ground running. I don't know what routes we should be heavily starting them on. We haven't done any of that. But we're creating these positions, and we're throwing them out there, and it seems like we do a lot of this. We create the position. We create the ARPA position. We create all these positions, and we wonder why they don't work out and they don't do what we want them to do because we give them no guidance, no data, no real training, and we haven't done our homework.
Legislator Hewitt.
Thank you. I think the purpose of the route optimization study was to gather feedback over the past year. I filled out the survey that was included, and there's still continuing feedback happening about the maps and the routes and continued hours, weekend service. So I think the county is in the process of gathering information, and this type of improvement is based on feedback that we've been hearing. And I think that someone mentioned investing in a system. We invest so heavily in our car architecture and our car infrastructure that if you can't afford a car, insurance, repairs, and gasoline, you can go stand on the street and wait in the rain and go screw yourself and wait. And your groceries can get wet in the rain. And when you show up to work with your wet briefcase, you better not cry and toughen up, because you should take the bus because you can't afford a car. So the more we can invest in equity in our transportation system, the better.
On the amendment.
On the amendment, I believe we are a short yes with one no. Legislator Maloney?
We're short no, two yeses. Legislator Kovacs and Hansen.
Proposed amendment number 12 is adopted 15-6.
I'd like to move that we adopt proposed amendment number 18.
I'll second that.
On the amendment.
On the amendment, we are a short yes.
Short no.
Oh, I'm sorry, Legislator Maloney.
This is the Human Rights Commission?
Correct. Yes.
I'll be a no.
Okay, so we are a short yes with one no. Legislator Maloney.
Thank you.
And Kevin was a short no.
Correct.
With two yeses.
The amendment, no, not on this one.
Oh, no?
No, they're just a short no.
Sorry, my apologies.
I got it.
Okay.
It's right. Yep. So the amendment is adopted 13-8.
Let's see, 19 we did already. I'd like to move that we adopt proposed amendment number 20.
I will second that.
Thank you. On the amendment?
On the amendment, we are a short yes.
Short no on number 20.
Legislator Maloney.
I'm having a hard time flicking through here and trying to connect my notes to, we have these long conversations when the cameras aren't rolling and in budget, and then we fly through here. It's just, I wish there was more debate. I wish we had the healthy debate and conversation with the cameras rolling and the people really watching. Otherwise, we're just saying yes or no. No one knows what the hell is going on. But I believe this is the, I had a very similar resolution. We're putting $8 million plus aside. Is that this? Is that my on the right one here?
Proposed amendment number 20 is on page 10 of 17. It's on the bottom half of that page.
Would it be helpful if I read
this? Is this for the anticipated raises?
Majority Leader, could you read the summary?
So, since it's my amendment, I'll read the, or my, it's, I'm, I just made the motion. It's
John.
Proposed by Legislator Guevara.
Yes.
The summary is to account for a portion of the rollout of the compensation study, which is due for a January 1st, 2025 effective date. So this is setting aside funding so that we know some is set aside for the salary study, which we know will, we believe strongly that it will provide evidence that we need to increase salaries.
Thank you. Does that answer your question, sir?
Yeah, thank you. Okay. So my comment. And I think we should probably do more of this, especially on an $8 million budget amendment. We should probably, I mean, it's not even, we're not able to put it up on the screen. We're just, you know, and no one knows what's going on. But so this is an $8 million. We're putting it into a separate account. There were two. My resolution was very similar, and I earmarked it and went through over the last few years and did my homework and found that I thought it was the COs, the highway side of DPW, and 911 dispatchers that were probably the most grossly overpaid. And what I'm anticipating is a salary study that might not be worth the paper that it's printed on, like the space study we just did. I've talked to some members of the union that have been privy to what's coming back to them. No one is happy.
No one is happy with what they see in the salary study. None of the numbers make sense. I know the company themselves have had a hard time because here in Ulster County, we don't have any uniformity to our hours. So trying to line up and compare with people around the state and around the area that work 40-hour work weeks, and we have a lot of people working 32, which is crazy to me management-wise, especially when they can get comp OT. So this is $8 million put aside. We shot down the one that earmarked and kind of focused on to start with certain unions, because what we're going to have to do is we keep saying we got this salary study coming. But what if we don't? What if the salary study is like so many other studies we've had and it doesn't help us at all? We've kicked the can down the road. We haven't dealt with our underpaid civil servants for many years. We haven't even done a salary study in 25 years. And now for the last couple of years, we keep not wanting to talk about anything or get specific or do any of the homework that we need to do in case the salary study doesn't do all the work magically, because that's what we always want studies to be, magic. The study was, they're just going to put this packet in front of us, or we're going to get an email, and we're suddenly going to know what to do with all our offices, where to put everything. That didn't happen with the salary study. Space study, and it's not going to happen with the salary study, unfortunately, which is why the unions are already being offered 4% for 1 year. Nobody, the exec 30 doesn't know what to do. That's what I'm hearing from the unions. They're getting a weak offer as we have given some more management raises. We're manipulating management from 40 to 32 hours once in a while. All the games we play every year for the one percenters, we're playing those games again with this budget. And the people at the top are getting what they want and what they need. And the people that keep the lights on are, once again, we're kicking the can down the road. But that's what this $8 million does. At least it puts $8 million to the side and anticipates that we're going to have to give some raises out. The problem is it hasn't done any of the work. It hasn't done any of the work. Where are we even going to start? We needed to do that ourselves. There's no reason we need to bring some company that doesn't know anything about Ulster County government or anything about any of – with no special abilities or whatever. Why couldn't our controller, why couldn't our budget analyst, why couldn't the executive staff, why couldn't we get together and do our own salary study? How hard is it to compare the COs in Ulster County to the state COs, to the private prisons, and to the surrounding counties? How hard is that to do? It's not very hard. And when you do it, you find the COs are way underpaid. And I really wanted to earmark and put on there that we start specifically with the COs with this $8 million. That got voted down. But at least we're putting money aside, and we're planning on giving some long overdue raises. But first, we'll give management more raises like we always do. I'm a yes on this, but a very disappointed yes.
Thank you. I have Legislator Collins, and then Legislator Nolan, and then Legislator Kitchen.
I think it's wise. Look, I don't know if any of us believe we'll ever see this salary study. We've been promised it for a very, very, very long time. I don't know if we'll ever see it. But I do know that we are under paying our employees. And this money will help to get us to where we need to be. By putting it in a contingency fund, we know somehow, some way, we will be paying our employees better next year. If it's us doing the study, if it's a salary study, if finally comes in, the money will be there, or at least some of the money. None of us believe this is enough money, but it's a beginning. So I totally support this. It's a way of saying, look, we need to put money aside because we need to pay people better. That's all we're doing with this amendment, and let's just pass it.
Legislator Nolan.
Yes, I'd just like to note that I'm going to withhold my praise or criticism of the salary study until we actually have it in front of us.
Thank you. Legislator Kitchen.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. So you sit through these meetings every month. I'd like to remind my colleagues that every time Mr. Maloney speaks, there's one individual that just seems to keep smiling and laughing throughout everything he says. And though we last month passed the resolution on our demeanor and our professionalism, and I would just like this individual to stop doing this.
Noted. Thank you. Legislator Maloney, did you want to speak again?
Yeah, thank you for that. You know, and it's being called a racist and a xenophobe, the least of it is the laughing and the mocking, especially after everything I say ends up being proved right. But thank you.
Gentlemen, noted, and thank you. Noted, and thank you.
I would just like to say about the waiting for judgment comment that was made is I have spoken to union members and heads of unions that have seen the salary study thus far, which is pretty much finished, and nobody thinks it's accurate. Nobody agrees with the numbers, and I'm taking them at their word, and it doesn't surprise me. So I have done my homework before I start questioning what I think is going to happen with this salary study. But it'll be another one of those things that I'm right about.
Thank you. And on the amendment?
On the amendment, we're sure yes.
I believe we voted already.
I think we did. I just wanted to roll back around to where we were.
Sure yes.
Thank you.
Time.
Okay. So amendment, proposed amendment number 20 is adopted 14-7.
Thank you, Majority Leader. Do you have any further?
I believe that that is the last amendment that advanced out of Ways and Means just in general. That's
Thank
the last
you.
Amendment that advanced out of Ways and Means, so I'm done.
Thank you. And then I'd like to call, are there any other amendments that legislators would like to offer? Minority Leader Roberts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For everybody out there, we are starting on page 11, amendment number 1. Any legislator can bring up these amendments or add additional ones as they see fit. But I'd like to make a motion to move amendment number 1, and that is to decrease the real property tax levy by 15%. And after I get a second, if you don't mind, I'll speak on it.
I'll second that.
Thank you. Yes, please, Minority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Republican Caucus, Legislative Caucus, put a lot of work into this amendment. It wasn't something that we shot from the hip to come up with. And also, I'd like to thank other legislators in the past, including Maloney and Petit, that put similar amendments in the past. The difference between then and now is that our unallocated fund balance has ballooned to astronomical figures, including as it stands now, numbers given to me by our budget analysis that worked so hard for us of $171 million. It is projected at the end of 24 that our unallocated fund will increase to $210 million. And the Metzger budget as it stands now, there is nothing in this budget that we're holding in our hands, the amendments, that will decrease a potential surplus for next year. So we're looking at at the end of 25, we're looking at a $230 million surplus. You're going to hear a lot of arguments tonight, and I don't want to. I won't have time to speak on every single one, but we're going to hear that we had put money into from reserves into this budget, and that's a fact. We did, but we do that every year, and we do not use that money. It goes back in the general fund. You also may hear that our high-paid, overpriced budget consultants had actually the nerve to recommend a budget tax increase this year, and I like to remind everybody that those consultants have been wrong every year. If they were right, we wouldn't be sitting on a $210 million surplus, so to speak. This decrease by 15%, which equals $11,100,000, averages out to a house that's valued at $315,000, assessed at $315,000, will give each taxpayer, property owner, a reduction of $180. That's real money that they could put, pay their electric bills, whatever else they see fit. It's their money. It's not our money. And we need to keep that in mind. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'll reserve the right to speak again.
Thank you. Legislator Nolan.
The increases in our budget that are referenced as now building up this surplus are not from increases in property tax. The property tax has been held steady for quite a number of years now. the increases are due to increases in sales tax revenue primarily from our investments in the tourism of this county and other economic sectors of our county. So the recommendation of the budget consultants that we keep a healthy reserve for emergency circumstances that may arise in the coming years, including storm damage, drought, forest fires, other things that we have seen in the past year, is a quite reasonable recommendation. It's a question of whether or not we will be prepared. To return this money now would leave us in the position that if we have a shortfall in a future year, we would have to greatly raise property taxes, which would be a greater hardship on those who are contributing to the economy through the property tax route.
Thank you. I have Legislator Maloney, followed by Collins, followed by Litz.
You know, Margaret Thatcher once said, there is no public monies, just taxpayer monies. And as I sit here today and listen to some, what I just heard, and I'm sure more later, we almost start to think it's our money. You know, I remember when I was doing construction years ago, and I would go into fairly wealthy people's houses, it felt like we were renovating kitchens over and over again. They just had so much money, and they didn't know what to do with it. And I feel like we've gotten to that point here where we never look to cut the fat. We never look to innovate. We never look to sunset a position we may not need. We just have all this sitting money, and we've really begun to govern like it. I was no big fan of Mike Hine. Everybody knew that. But he was so much more fiscally conservative than what we've been like over the last couple of years. It's just sad. And when you say it's not, anyone that's going to say this is not, this extra money that we're sitting on is not from, you know, overtaxing, that's exactly what it is. I don't see there's any other way to look at it. We underestimate sales tax, so we overtax just because we haven't raised taxes. We've had taxes too high for many years, it appears. And there's not a lot we can do about municipal and school taxes, what really is killing people. But we can do something about the county share, and we can, and it does matter. It is real money, and it's not our money. It's money we shouldn't have. We're sitting on all this money that we didn't need to tax. We overtaxed. It's not our money. Let's give some back. And you know what? If something comes up, that's when you go to the people. But there is nobody walking around the top couple of floors of this building ever worried or stressed about pinching every penny and getting every penny out of every contract. I mean, we're paying no attention to capital projects and bridges and county-owned property. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. About we're not looking into these not-for-profits that I'm finding are taking advantage of us left and right, not providing the programmatic services they're supposed to. We just don't care. We're sitting on a mountain of money, and it's got to stop, and it'll make us better. Let's give some of this money back, and let's start doing our job as fund appropriators.
Legislator Collins.
So the reality is that our county taxes have not increased in the last 10 years. For those property owners who have lived here that long, you can look at the county portion of your tax bill and see that it hasn't changed over 10 years. The only change would have been due to equalization changes, but that has nothing to do with the valuation of your house. Because the county has not increased property tax in 10 years, we have in effect, because of inflation, been cutting taxes every single year because the value of money is worth more, and we're collecting the same amount of money every single year. There are also two factors that really influence my decision to vote no on this. The proposed budget has $432 million in expenses and only $414 in income. That difference between the $414 and the $432 is taken out of our savings. Anyone that's ever done a household budget knows depending on savings to manage your budget is a bad, bad idea. The income from property, our income is from property taxes, sales tax, use tax, federal aid and state aid. The total property tax for the budget is $74 million. It's a fairly small portion of the total income that we receive. The bulk of the income comes from the sales and use tax and from the state and federal governments. As our comptroller has pointed out, the federal government is looking at cutting $2 trillion from their budget. Where is that money going to come from? My guess is going to come from local and state aids. And that money is going to be directly coming from us. We're going to lose that income, going to lose that revenue. So At this point, with uncertainty of what's going to happen at the federal level, it makes no sense for us to cut our income from a tax that we have not increased in 10 years.
Legislator Litz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. All my colleagues bring up very good and strong points, because our county does not survive on property tax anymore. Because if you look at the property tax versus the sales tax, we have a surplus. Why? Because people come here and they spend money, and we reap the sales tax from that. But you talk to any young person who owns a house, or seniors that own houses, and we talk about the economy, we talk about the cost of just living, groceries, gas, all of those things. Yet we want to keep our surplus above what is recommended by the state comptroller and even our own comptroller. Yes, we survive now on sales tax, not property tax. Esteemed colleague said that, you know, we want to keep things for a rainy day, because we don't know. We might have a storm. We might have, a catastrophe. But that represents 40% of our total county budget. 40%. Don't you wish all the young people and older people and middle income people could have 40% of their salary in savings every year? I think they'd be doing much better. This amounts to $11 million out of a 400 and, was it 32? I don't know. What's the total budget?
432.
$11 million to give back to the people who live in this county. And, you know, we just raised, you know, the occupancy tax and some other taxes because, oh, listen, those people don't live here. So who cares? They're paying our way. But you know some? The property taxpayers in this county live here. And why not have the sales tax surplus give them a little more money in their pocket for their bills and their being able to live a little better in Ulster County? $11 million out of a $432 million budget. And by the way, Rockland County and several counties around us do have tax breaks. I know tonight there was talk, and there will be talk coming up here very soon, about raising our salary, because we're comparing to Dutchess County and Rockland County and Sullivan County, you know, to raise our pay. But our taxpayers that pay tax in this county deserve a break. So I don't think we deserve an increase in salary when we should be passing the savings back to the people who pay taxes in this county.
Legislator Harmon.
Thank you, Chair. Three observations and rationales for my vote, and then a thought for how to move forward. With upcoming increases in salaries across the board because of the salary study, or because we know what the right thing to do is, I don't think that this makes sense at this time. We know that we're going to need more money. The only question is how much. With no clear idea what the imminent changes are at the federal level, we may need to be prepared to pick up all sorts of slack that we cannot yet know. And sales tax becomes more uncertain in uncertain times, which seem likely to be the times we are about to enter. So with that, and knowing that not the rent, but the rent is too damn high, I agree. We need to take care of each and every person in the county. What if we were to revisit this in 1 year, when we know what some of these changes are going to be?
Thank you. Majority Leader Ushetel.
Thank you. I
would like to start by echoing my colleague, the previous speaker, on the rent being too high. In my district, rents have gone up over the last few years by astronomical amounts. The property tax reduction here amounting to an average of $300 a year. Most of the tenants in my district are paying the increase from what their rent has been over the last few years is far more than $300 a month. Many, many, many hundreds of dollars a month. I mean, I've seen properties go up by $1,000 a month. Things that 5 years ago were, you know, $1,500 a month now are $2,500 a month. I mean, every single month, every single month. And these buildings, at best, in many cases, are owned by people outside of, you know, my district at least, many cases outside of Ulster County entirely. Many of the buildings in my district were purchased by private equity firms during the last few years. My district is being viewed as an extractive investment opportunity for private equity. This is the crunch on my constituents. And I know that a property tax rebate is never going to make it into the pockets of renters in my district. And I have to stand in solidarity with renters. And I know that there are a number of folks here that are landlords, and I have a lot of respect for them, and I would love to hear their plans for how they are going to return this property tax rebate to the folks that are paying it, their tenants.
Legislator Maloney for a second time.
Yeah, I believe just last night Dutchess County did exactly what we're talking about here, literally last night. The only difference I can figure comparing Dutchess and Ulster is just the political makeup of the body that did it. Anyways, we're sitting on all this money. I keep hearing for 10 years, we've kept the same for 10 years. We've taxed people too much. And what have we done over the last 10 years when we're sitting on money and we're not worried about anything? We let a local realty group go over $10 million at 70 Grand Avenue and not pay their taxes, even though it was a fully functioning office building. We purchased a $700,000 building on Elizabeth Street to do some press releases for a congressional race, and now it sits, probably going to cost us about $1 million when we're done taking it down, plus the money for purchasing it will be $1.5 million, $2 million in with a lot worth about $30,000. It's probably environmentally contaminated in the next year or two. Paradise Lane, we overpaid about $2.5 million just for fun with a big donor donating big bucks right in the middle of a congressional campaign, a ridiculous triple net lease over at the BOE. The Golden Hill demo, we weren't supposed to do $2 million and much more for Penrose. The Bank of Greene County, where we lost millions and millions and millions of dollars a year because we weren't getting a good rate on our sitting money. All these things, what are we up to? $30-40 million? If we want money, if we need it, we can go find it. Let's give the money back. To sit here and go, don't worry about it, it's not going to make it to anybody. I mean, spoken like a true politician. But let's give the money back to the people that gave it to us that we didn't need to, and stop saying for 10 years we've held it flat. No, for 10 years we've taxed people that we didn't need to, and then we've gone and wasted their money. That's just a couple of things off the top of my head.
Legislator Collins, second time.
My concern is not so much giving a tax break. My concern is the size of it. I would like to make a friendly amendment to change the number to 2% tax break.
There's an amendment on the floor. Is there a second?
I'll second.
On
long roll?
I'd like to call a recess for 5 minutes.
Yes, we'll take a recess for 5 minutes.
I'm going to withdraw my second.
Oh. Minority Leader Roberts, does that make a difference? He just withdrew his second. I'm happy to call a recess for 5 minutes. 5 minutes, not 15 minutes, 5 minutes. All right, we are back. Could I get order in the chamber, please? Thank you. Could you take your seat, sir? Thank you. All right. Where we are at right now is there is a motion on the floor that has not been seconded. Yes. So there is a motion on the floor that has not been seconded.
No second.
No second. All right. Moving on, Minority Leader Roberts.
Mr. Chair, I think if everybody's okay with it, we'll call a long roll vote.
There's been a long roll called.
On the amendment, proposed number one as presented.
Correct.
Sorry, got to go alphabetical.
No,
Clinton, no. Collins.
Pass.
Criswell.
No.
Donaldson.
No.
Green.
Yeah.
Hansett.
Yes.
Harmon.
No.
Hewitt.
Pass.
Kitchen.
Yes.
Kovacs.
Yes.
Levine.
Pass.
Litz.
Yes.
Lopez.
Yes.
Maloney.
Yes, and I want to quickly explain my vote. Central Hudson, New York State, New York City are the three biggest property owners in Ulster County. Through amendment, the way this is, they will get that rebate. There's no way they will get that tax break. So the three biggest tax breaks will be Central Hudson, the state of New York, and New York City. Next week, we have a very similar resolution that's a rebate program. It's for 20%, but that can be negotiated between the two caucuses, and I am allowed to make exemptions. So Central Hudson, the state of New York, and New York City will be taken out of next week's so we can make sure that they do not get the largest portion of what is essentially a tax break. So just with everyone keeping that in mind, I'm still a yes in support of any tax break at this point with all this surplus, but I do think the next week's approach should probably be the one that we start negotiating about so we can go ahead and exempt out Central Hudson, the state of New York City.
McCullough.
No.
Nolan.
Yes. Sorry, that's not my vote. it's just my starting a sentence. New York State and New York City own, I think, 75% of the county. I don't know how much extra comes in from Central Hudson. So we're talking about, I would expect, probably close to 80% of this tax break going to those three entities. That does not seem like something that any reasonable legislator would vote for once they have that information. And if they have the information that there is a way to do this that would be called a rebate, which allows businesses to be exempted and not included in the funding going back to the other taxpayers, the residential taxpayers, I really don't understand the reasoning of a yes vote here. I feel that all of this is still our making decisions in a time when we have very little good information about the expenses that this county will be incurring. And especially a lot of the programs that do come from the federal government that serve the most vulnerable in this county. Our social services, for example, and the housing efforts that we have going forward. I think we have a need to pause, and the idea of making sure that we tax as little as possible is a valid one. I certainly have been appreciative of the fact that we have not increased taxes over the past years. Can we decrease taxes? Possibly. I think we need to see how the early part, at least, of 2025 goes before we do that. And I think we should do it with a mechanism that does not give that money back to people that I think should be supporting our area for the benefits that our area brings to New York State, to New York City, and to allow the infrastructure for the energy providers. So, let's not have politics be such a big driver in what we do. Let's try to think about all of this carefully together, and let's have as much good information in front of us when we do it. So I'm a no.
Roberts.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. There is absolutely no evidence that Central Hudson, New York City, and New York State will get 80% of this benefit. And from what I heard, it comes out to about $1 million, which would be about 10% of it. And I have yet to see any evidence that New York City and New York State actually pay property taxes. So without that evidence, nobody's proven to me that they do pay it. And, you know, we say something up here and everybody believes it and runs with it. A couple of years ago, right here in the sixth floor, the Republican caucus made a historic proposal, and that was to cut the gas tax by 50%. That proposal swept through New York State, and county after county adopted that. And one of the biggest supporters of that was then County Executive Pat Ryan. Now, Pat Ryan didn't care. He just that Central Hudson was going to pull up the gas pumps and get a 50% gas tax reduction. He didn't care if a driver from New York State or somebody coming up the thruway got that tax break. He just cared that the people of Ulster County were going to get that tax break. And that's why Pat Ryan's in Congress, and all of us are sitting up here now debating a tax cut. You know, I'm going to vote yes on this, and I urge all my colleagues to vote yes, too.
Sperry.
No.
Stewart.
In light of what has been brought up by some of my colleagues as far as the uncertainty of state and federal funds coming into the county next year, and uncertainty related to the economy and possible sales tax revenues, also in light of the fact that this would only provide our taxpayers $180 per year. That comes out to $15 a month. That's like going to McDonald's. I don't see how $15 a month is going to actually benefit anyone to such a great degree. And when that money, and when a trip to McDonald's per month is taking funds out of county coffers that may be needed in light of possible funding cuts from the count, from the state and federal government, and the effects of climate change. I think we're going to be looking at floods. We're going to be looking at ice storms. We're going to possibly be looking at forest fires. I think that we are cutting off the nose to spite our face to give people a $15 a month benefit. In light of all of those things, I'm a no.
You should tell.
I vote no in solidarity with renters.
Walls.
Yes.
Back to the top. Collins.
I'm going to vote no. My explanation for that no is that I want to make sure we target residents instead of corporations, and this does not differentiate between the two. So if we can find a way to differentiate between the two, I would support that.
Green.
I am also a no, and that is primarily because we need to hold our savings. I do think we're going to be experiencing various emergencies, and this is a form of resilience. Thank you.
Back to Hewitt.
Thank you. I believe this is a great idea and should be revisited next year, but in solidarity with my Republican colleagues, I'm a yes.
And Levine.
I share the concerns of a number of my colleagues on the issues of targeting this for individuals versus corporations and the issue on uncertainty in terms of federal, federal aid coming down the pipeline. So for those reasons, I'm going to be a no on this, but I do support the idea of targeted relief, trying to figure out the way of targeting it towards individuals as opposed to corporations. But for this, I will be a no.
Proposed amendment number one is defeated. 9 yeses and 12 noes.
Thank you. Are there any other amendments that legislators would like to offer?
I'd like to offer amendment number 2.
Minority Leader Roberts second that. On the amendment. Legislator Maloney?
This is on the raise.
This is on proposed amendment number 2, which is page 11 of 17. It's the second amendment that you see there.
I just think this is quite offensive, or I would assume many people, many of our constituents are offended. I would assume many of our civil servants are offended as they await a salary study, as they've been underpaid. And that's another very offensive thing. As we have all this sitting money and we all sit here and acknowledge how underpaid, and I always go back to the COs. we can just start and end with the COs. When's the last time somebody in the county office building had bodily fluid thrown on them? When's the last time they were stabbed? When's the last time they were punched in the face while working? When's the last time they died? When's the last time we lost a worker in the county office building? I mean, we've had stabbings recently at the jail. We don't even talk about it. These COs are being stabbed, beat up, spit on, and they're dying. And they're not even home with their families, because they're working 3 and 4 doubles a week. They have the lowest average lifespan. They die the quickest after retirement, if they even make it. And we sit up here and we give ourselves a raise and we tell everybody else to wait, except for a couple of management and political appointees. We get them their raise too. It's just, as we sit here and vote not to give a tax rebate to homeowners and come up with reasons why not, we have the audacity to sit here and give ourselves a raise. After talking about a raise to $38,000, which is the craziest thing I've ever seen, we have too many legislators. The first thing we need to do is have an honest conversation about breaking this down to 11 to 13 or something. Then you can talk about it. How about we accomplish something? How about we put our stamp on a budget over the last 10 years? How about we find some real savings? How about we do something? Last I checked, you had to accomplish something before getting a raise. That's usually how it works, right? You deserve the raise. What have we heard? Everybody here, or most of us up here, are going to vote yes tonight. I'm certainly not. And I'm not going to hear from anybody an accomplishment. Can somebody tell me any of the – I'll call a long roll. And can somebody up here give me a couple of accomplishments? I'd love to hear it. I'd love to hear it. I'll go back and forth with you with my no, with accomplishments. But I'd love to hear what anyone that's voting yes thinks they did to deserve this raise, when so many other people in the county, literally people that are losing and giving their lives, don't deserve one yet.
Legislator Kovacs.
Outrageous.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I believe a long roll was requested, but if not, I request one. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do not support this proposed increase in salary for county legislators, a proposal that is deeply ironic in light of our failure just a few minutes ago to enact a 15% cut in property taxes. At a time when our constituents are grappling with rising costs and financial uncertainty, this legislature is now looking to prioritize our own pay over the tax relief that working families in Ulster County desperately need. How can we support a significant raise for ourselves while denying the very people who elected us the financial break that they've been asking for? It's a contradiction that undermines our credibility and erodes public trust. If we truly believe in serving the public, our focus should be on delivering tangible benefits to our constituents, not enriching ourselves. This irony becomes even sharper when we consider that the discussions we've had recently about affordable housing. Many in this chamber have championed initiatives to make housing more affordable, yet we fail to recognize that cutting property taxes is one of the most direct and effective ways to lower housing costs. By reducing property taxes, we can immediately ease the burden on homeowners and renters alike, helping to make housing more affordable for all. As public servants, we have a responsibility to lead by example. Supporting a pay increase at a time when we've denied our constituents meaningful tax relief, sends a clear message that we value our own financial gain over addressing the struggles of the people we represent. Until we prioritize the needs of Ulster County residents and deliver significant tax relief, I cannot in good conscience support this pay raise. Let's remember who we were elected to serve and act accordingly. Thank you.
Legislator Litz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am not as eloquent a speaker as my colleague to my left, but this raise represents an 11% increase in our salary, which is better than the previous resolution amendment was to raise our salaries by 58% when we cannot give the people that elected us a 15% property tax reduction. I think it's ludicrous. I'm sure all of our constituents out there would love to have even just an 11% raise, no less a 58% raise. So I will be a no on this, and I'm glad to hear that there is going to be a long roll, because then at least our constituents that are watching by camera will know how each and every one of us votes and where our priorities lie, which should be with our constituents and the people of this county and not our pocketbook.
A long roll has been called.
On proposed amendment number 2, Clinton, pass. Collins.
Yes.
Criswell.
Yes.
Donaldson.
No.
Green.
Yes.
Hansett.
No.
Harmon.
Yes, and if I may explain my reasoning. This is a first step to increasing representation across economic strata in our body, which is essential to our decision-making processes, and we don't have it now, or we don't have what we should. This also, I believe, would set the stage for creating some greater accountability to make sure that we are up to snuff. My question is, how many renters, how many single mothers, how many people who make under $65,000 a year, how many people who couldn't afford to get their car repaired and so would need UCAT are currently in this legislature? That matters, and we can affect that representation, and that is why I am a yes.
Hewitt.
Yes.
Kitchen.
Nope.
Kovacs.
No.
Levine.
Yes.
Litz.
I'm a no, and I want to explain something. I would love to see the greater of our population represented in this chamber. I think that would be a great thing. The only thing is, the reality of the situation is, just look at this year's election and how many billions of dollars were spent on campaigning and how much it cost, even at this level of government, to campaign. Someone who wants to take this job at less than minimum wage, our proposed minimum wage, I don't believe would have the means or the ability to compete in that arena. So it may be unjust, but it is a reality. And I don't think we should be lining our pockets more, because I don't think that helps the constituents that are on the lower end of the earning level of our constituents across the county. I think it's ludicrous that we want to increase our salary when other people's salary are not going up Maybe they go up a couple of percent, maybe 2-3%, but 11%? I don't know. That seems ludicrous to me. And I just hope that the people in this county can understand and realize what we come to this chamber for, and it's not to line our pockets.
Lopez.
No.
Maloney.
I think if we lowered salaries, we'd probably have better people, to be honest with you. And the idea that upping the salary is going to get middle and lower middle class and even people living in poverty a chance to become legislators, I just totally disagree with the majority of the people in this room right now. My colleagues are all on their municipal political committees. To try to run against it, somebody's going to show up. I said this last meeting. I know a really intelligent guy who's living in a homeless shelter right now, a run of bad luck, really intelligent guy. He'd love to run. I'll bring him to one of the next Democratic committee meetings in the city of Kingston, and we'll see how much help he gets to challenge Joe or Greg or Chris or anybody else. It's not going to help. Anyways, 11% for us, 4% is where we're offering the underpaid civil servants right now in the county. And next month I'll be putting up a resolution to make all salary raises for elected officials a referendum. And let's just let the people decide if we deserve the raise or not. I'm a no. One last thing. If you are a no, and I've said this before, if you're a no and this raise goes through and you cash that check and you spend that money on yourself, then you might as well have been a yes. Anybody that's truly a no to this, if this passes like I did last time, and anybody can ask me for the receipts, I went way beyond what that raise was, and I kept the receipts, helping people in these homeless shelters, giving that money back. I never got that raise, and I'm not going to get this raise either. And I hope anybody that claims to be a no doesn't say they're a no and then cash the check.
McCullough.
I'm a yes. And for people to speak and don't know what people – I don't talk about what I do, but I'm a yes. And if that gentleman is such a good person, maybe Legislator Maloney should take them to
I'm going to ask you not to direct your comments to one particular legislator. Thank you.
Nolan.
Yes, I do think there should be some fairness in that. There were legislators identified.
You're right. I'm sorry about that. It's getting to be a little late. I apologize for that, Legislator McCullough. You were called out directly. I apologize.
Thank you. So I agree in terms of the desire to increase representation. And I'm happy to hear that there is some support for the notion that campaigning is part of the issue as well. And so maybe it is time for us to look again at campaign finance reform and public financing of campaigns, because if you had that and you have a slightly higher reimbursement, you might have a different, in fact, studies have shown that you do have greater representation of populations that don't always show up in elected office, including minorities and other minorities by race and other minorities. So I think both of those are valid concerns. I have not often supported the notion of increasing salaries, but I do want to bring out some of the thoughts I've had about what good this body does, because we could look at like the problems, but and I'm not a public relations person or not a public relations person for the county, but just sitting and thinking about the committees that I've been in the past 2 weeks, we've been dealing with keeping our roads serviced, our bridges up, special social services for our vulnerable populations, public transit, housing. The amount of work we put into having our housing stock in Ulster County improve so that we have people off the streets and living in homes they can afford has been enormous over the past couple of years. Tourism, which brings in the funding that allows a lot of these types of service and also gives job opportunities to people business development, transportation, other than public transit, Office of the Aging, information services so that people have maps and other information that they need, the county clerk's office, the historic archives that that office keeps and supports, agriculture in Ulster County, libraries, the warming center. Somebody should be doing this other than me, but there is so much that this county is doing. And is it these particular elected officials that are in this room? Yes, plus the ones that came before. This is not a large salary for the amount of work that most of the legislators put in. I'm a yes to my own surprise.
Robert.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. As you all know, I've been an opponent of pay raises throughout my tenure here, and I voted against the previous two pay raises. But I am voting yes today for this pay raise, not for myself, but for future legislators that may come after me. We tonight, and Legislator Nolan listed a whole list of things we do up here, but if you just want to look at tonight, we are going to pass, and we debated in length, a $432 million budget. We talked about an $11 million property tax reduction, not a rebate, Majority Leader. We're also put away $8 million for a salary study, compensation, among a whole list of things. We're going to go through a capital budget plan that we're going to pass. And we get paid less than a fast food worker. Is that fair? Maybe some people will say that. We do it for the community service. County executive don't get paid for, nobody expects a county executive to come up here and work for nothing. Nobody expects Clerk Fabella or the district attorney to come up here and do it for charity. No, no, no. They all get paid well. And I don't mean to single anybody out here, but we should get paid fairly also. I would have supported the $38,000 pay raise. And I think at that price, even at that fee, I think we'd all be underpaid. So I'm going to be a yes today, and I think we should, and I get the reasoning that we're not supporting 38. It's a big jump. And also, we're doing it in the middle of a term. Maybe we should talk about that for the next term coming up, for the next group of 23 that get here. And I'm a yes today, Madam Clerk.
Sperry.
Yes.
Stewart.
I'm a yes, and I just want to say that no one that I know of in this chamber does this for the money. Basically, we are all here because we want to do good things for our constituents, and for that reason, I'm a yes.
You should tell.
I am a yes.
Walls.
No.
And back to Clinton.
Yes.
The proposed amendment number 2 is adopted, 13-8.
Are there any other amendments that legislators would like to offer? Any other amendments that legislators would like to offer? Legislator Hewitt.
It's okay to skip forward? Yeah.
Yes. This is anybody who would like to offer something right now.
I would
now.
Like to move proposed amendment 11 to add $25,000 to the Department of Economic Development for ongoing research and education regarding the nascent industrial hemp movement.
And is there a second for that? Legislator Sperry, thank you.
What number is this for?
11.
On this amendment, Legislator Maloney.
Yeah, we discussed this a couple of weeks ago, and I don't understand. This is what the Economic Development Department is supposed to be doing. Why do we have to give them more money? What is $25,000 going to magically help them do what I think they should already be doing? And we kind of had that discussion. I didn't get a lot of answers. Actually, I think the sponsor kind of agreed there was some frustration with the liaisoning that you had done with the Economic Development Department. So I just don't get it. I don't get what giving them $25,000 is going to magically get them to take this approach you want them to take when they haven't. And I don't know what money is going to do. Seems like it could be done. So I'm a no.
Legislator Litz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As far as I know, this $25,000 would be to hire a consultant that would help economic development to forward the use or get farmers to grow industrial hemp or uses for it. But we have an agricultural coordinator in economic development. Her name is Deborah DeWan, and this would be one of her duties in that position to do exactly what this amendment is asking to do. So we already have a county employee to do this job, yet we want to, I don't know, we're going to give her a $25,000 stipend above her pay to be able to do this, or I don't know why this is here as a budget amendment, since we already have a county employee that their job is to do exactly what this $25,000 increase to the Department of Economic Development is supposed to do.
Legislator Hewitt.
I think that's a great point, Legislator Litz, and Legislator Maloney. The department should be doing things like this, innovating, becoming more flexible, and by having a pool of funding for this innovation, I think it allows Deborah DeWan to be more flexible and innovative.
Thank you. Legislator Nolan.
I favor this kind of innovation, and I appreciate the energy being brought forward, but I think in general the support should be for an industry or an industry sector and not a specific commodity or a specific product. So I think this is too narrowly focused, and I think going back to have the conversations with those in county government that could address this and find out exactly what the need is would be my preference rather than providing this funding at this time through the budget process.
Thank you. On the amendment, do you know?
I think we got to go long roll.
Okay, so a long roll has been called on this amendment.
On proposed amendment number 11, Clinton.
Yes.
Collins.
Pass.
Criswell.
Yes.
Donaldson.
Yes.
Green.
Yes.
Hanset.
No.
Harmon.
Yes.
Hewitt.
Yes.
Kitchen.
No.
Kovacs.
No.
Levine.
Pass.
Litz.
No. I think this is a duplication of what we already have in the county, and I don't know why. I mean, are we going to give the DA more money to do his job or whatever? I don't know. We already have someone in the county that is in a position to do exactly this work.
Lopez. No. Maloney.
We also have Department of the Environment. I agree with her 100%. I'm a no.
McCullough.
Yes.
Nolan.
The product hemp has been one that has been unfairly treated in our economy for decades. And so if this passes, I think that there is some justification for focusing on hemp. And it might require a specialized person to really understand the way that that systemic suppression of this product in competition with cotton and other elements. I'm sorry.
Could I ask folks to thank you?
There also are public perceptions and perhaps some misperceptions in relationship to hemp and cannabis and how that all works, and we have a new social reality in terms of cannabis. I still think this is not for sure the best way to spend this $25,000, and I like to know what I'm getting for my money. So I am a no, but if it goes forward, I'll be happy to support it at that point.
Roberts.
Pass.
Sperry.
Yes.
Stewart.
I want to echo many of the points that Legislator Nolan just brought up about how hemp has been unfairly castigated for the last 100 years. It used to be one of the largest crops grown in this nation. And, you know, I think that hemp holds a great possible role in Ulster County's future. And I think that perhaps this relatively modest investment of $25,000 might be very helpful in getting this program off the ground. So, therefore, I am a yes.
Uchitel.
Yes.
Wolf.
Yes.
Back to Collins.
Abstain.
Do you want him to say the reason?
On the basis of?
Yeah.
Basis of ownership of a hemp, partial ownership of a hemp farm.
Thank you.
To Levine.
No.
And Robert.
Madam Clerk, could you give me the vote tally?
It is 11-8 with one abstention.
I'll be a yes.
The amendment is adopted 12-8 with one abstention, Legislator Collins.
Thank you. Are there any other amendments that legislators would like to offer? Legislator Hewitt.
I would like to move proposed amendment 14 to increase the budget of the Department of the Environment by $25,000 to contract for the creation of Ulster County's first Zero Corps. And that would be a paid team of people who would help with waste separation at county events. And this is partly inspired by Legislator Litz and his dedication to the Garlic Festival every year.
Is there a second? This is 14. It's page 16 of 17 in your packet. I'm not seeing a second for this. Legislator Hewitt?
I think I'll answer that question. The purpose is to build up the volunteerism that we have now by having dedicated paid staff that would work with a composting company in the area.
Thank you. Did I see your hand, Legislator McCullough? Second. So Legislator McCullough has seconded this. Legislator Maloney?
A question through the chair to the sponsor. Would this involve an RFP? I mean, if you're talking about a company and somebody being paid for a moment in time, is this something that would go out to bid?
Yes, I'll allow that question.
Yes.
For sure.
The funding would go toward the Department of Environment to create an RFP process for bid.
And in the bid, it would not exceed $25,000?
Correct.
On the amendment... Another long roll has been called. So this is page 16 of 17, and it's the proposed amendment. This one had no action in the Ways and Means Committee, so that's what the top line of the page says there. So you see that? 16 of 17? You're welcome.
On proposed amendment number 14, Clinton.
With the hopes that this would improve environmental issues and sustainability, I'm going to be a yes.
Collins.
Yes.
Criswell.
Yes.
Donaldson.
Yes.
Green.
Yes.
Hansett.
Yes.
Harmon.
Yes.
Hewitt.
Yes, and I just want to add that this is an important step for our county as we prepare for our reuse innovation center and our thinking in the circular economy.
Kitchen.
Yes.
Kovacs.
Yes.
Levine.
Yes.
Litz.
I'm going to be a yes, but I also want to explain it. By the time you put out the RFP process, this is going to allow for just a little over 1,000 hours of payment to volunteers. And, you know, when you start computing that, you're only going to be able to do a couple of venues with this money. And I'll be honest with you, I do the Garlic Festival every year, and there's always plenty of volunteers. I don't know. I mean, it's another $25,000 we could have given back to the taxpayers of this county.
Lopez.
Yes.
Maloney.
I'll be a yes. Look, reuse, recycle, compost. We need to be doing these things. We can't continue to create the amount of solid waste we're creating. We can't burn and bury our way out of this. We as human beings have to do something, or there is an end to this game. Nobody like Manna has fought this fight for many years. I'm a yes on this, but this is a little pet project, and that's all there will be until we have an honest conversation about raising the tipping fee, until garbage pails at the end of your driveway are $500 or $600. We are never going to have people buy in and do the things they need to do to continue on this planet. And little things like this, I guess we could learn from them when we have the real conversations down the road.
McCullough.
Yes.
Nolan.
Yes, we've done well at summer festivals like the Garlic Festival with food waste and separation, and I think that we've seen some presentations in the Environmental Committee about how those efforts can be replicated other places. I would like to see all of our events in Ulster County being a model for doing this better, and so I'm a yes.
Roberts.
Yes.
Sperry.
Yes.
Stewart.
I'm a yes, and I also want to echo Legislator Nolan once again for pointing out how I think it's important that we need to do reuse and recycling at all of the county events, and I look forward to seeing this sort of process taking place at the Ulster County Fair.
Uchitel.
Yes.
And Walls.
Yes.
The amendment passes unanimously, 21-0.
Are there any other amendments? I have Minority Leader Roberts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move Amendment 5, and if so be it, I'd like to, they're very similar to 6 and 7. I'd like to block the three of them, if I can get a second.
Second.
So, what are we doing here?
A motion to block.
So we have a motion to block amendments 5, 6, and 7.
Second.
There's a second. Correct. 5, 6, and 7.
Joe.
And there's a second. Legislator Maloney.
So these were budget amendments I put in where we kind of identified some of the civil servants we really need to get to first. Some of these positions are unfilled because we can't even fill them, and the pressure that we're putting on our first responders, the first response is that phone call, that's the dispatchers. They're hugely underpaid. We've had a hard time filling that position. We have a new 911 center coming at some point. The amount of overtime that these men and women have gone through and what they've given to this county needs to be recognized in salary. Same thing for the COs and same thing for buildings and grounds, this side of the DPW that was screwed over a couple of years ago, not given a raise that the other side of DPW was given. The contract was very oddly worded. We had, I don't know, 40, 50 individuals show up to several meetings and state their case. It actually said the first line of the contract said all DPW workers will receive a $5.90 raise, and then when you got into the contract, there were a schedule difference. And because of that schedule difference, half of DPW didn't get a long, long overdue raise. It just so happened that the main negotiator from the CSEA, close family member, was on the side that got the raise, which I think brings up some conflict issues that we're going to have to deal with going into the future, because it's not the only family member working inside the CSEA here, and I don't think that individual should be negotiating these contracts, especially when they specifically give the largest raise we've seen in CSEA county history to a family member. That being said, this rights a lot of wrongs, and as we just voted in raises for ourselves, I hope we can put money aside to put these three different parts of the county and civil servants at the top of the list and deal with long overdue raises for these individuals in DPW, the dispatchers, and most important, the COs. Most important is we have to pay the COs.
Thank you.
And lastly, I wonder how many people will be a yes on their own raise and a no on this.
Okay, I just want to remind everybody that we're still on a motion to block these, but I will allow this discussion at this time. So, Legislator Litz, and then Nolan, and then Harmon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just need a little clarification on proposed amendment number 7. As you read it, it says to apply the $5.70 rate increase for DPW employees effective December 31st, 2020. Is this going to be paid retroactive to December?
Is that 2020? To the sponsor?
No. It's just acknowledging that's the kind of the story I just told. That's what it references when there was this confusion inside the contract. Everyone in DPW for several months thought they had just negotiated a contract for all of them. The front first line in the contract was all DPW. I talked to legal about it. They very confusing language, and then it got into schedules deeper in, and suddenly only a part of DPW got the $5.90 raise. And when they came to these meetings asking us to make it right, we told them to wait to the next negotiation, and we would. Now here we are.
Thank you. Legislator.
So,
I'm sorry. Yes, please.
Just for clarity.
Yes, no worries.
So the summary, I believe, is just a summary, but I think it should be rewritten to say that it's effective January 1st, 2025.
So is that a motion for an amendment? Is that an amendment to the amendment? Well, we're still on the block, but now inside the block, we now have an amendment to the amendment. Okay. So council is saying that the title does not affect the start time. So say that again.
I understand the summary does not, but I just need it clarified as to when this raise will take place.
Upon the effective date of the budget.
Okay, because it says in here the effective date of this raise is December 31st, 2020, even though it is just a title and a summary. It just seems to be a little deceiving. That's what it is.
Is that tax, if I may,
yes.
Is that tax to
the
570 increase previously affected for employees that this does not come
forward? It's
just
saying
a reference.
Is, yeah, that it's.
So it's not retroactive. No. It will start January 1st, 2025, and therefore I am clear on how I will vote going forward.
Thank you. All right. So reminder, we're still on the block. I have Legislator Nolan, Harmon, Roberts, and McCullough on deck here.
Because all three of these proposed amendments deal with salary changes that would anticipate would come before the salary study and have been involved in collective bargaining, that I don't think it's our proper role to interfere in. I think it's proper to block them as proposed by the minority leader.
Legislator Harmon, Minority Leader Roberts, McCullough, and then Majority Leader Ushetel.
Chair, I have a question for the sponsor, through the chair.
Certainly.
Knowing that these are folks who absolutely have to be taken care of as soon as possible, my question is, what do we do if the salary study comes back with a different set of priorities? Like, I'm all for everybody getting what they need to make. I'm just trying to figure out how we balance these two potentially competing agendas.
I'm going to make a suggestion. Can we please vote on the block so we have that sorted, and then we can discuss the amendments as blocked? Yeah. Do you mind if I leapfrog?
Yeah, just
thank you.
You know, in terms of being from the perspective of the majority leader, I would just urge my colleagues to vote for the act of blocking them so that we can debate them together. That's what the sponsors.
Okay,
like
so
to
on
do.
On
the act of blocking them together.
Correct.
I would like us to be a short yes, and I'm not seeing any no's, so that we can debate them as a block, and everyone's comments can then be discussed.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Leader. We're short yes, too.
Thank you. Now, on the blocked amendments. And I have. Legislator Harmon, have you finished your thoughts? Thank you.
Yes, that's it.
I have Minority Leader Roberts. I have Legislator McCullough. And then I have Majority Leader Ushetel. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, there was an open question.
It was a question about timing. I think I could ask the same question back about the timing of giving ourselves a raise before we see the salary study and what other people are going to be getting, or even letting the Salary Review Commission opine. But as far as the salary study, I'm on the record. I've spoken to union heads and people that have seen the salary study. I think we should basically be moving forward as if we didn't get a salary study, the same way we moved forward with Tech City and all these other things without taking into account a space study that I think will largely end up mirroring what we get out of this salary study. I also would like to remind everybody that these are civil servants. You know, the salary study is doing a lot of non-union management, kind of niche positions as well that aren't easy to line up. These are dispatchers, these are COs, and this is the highway side of DPW. These are three of the simpler positions to compare to other counties and the state. There's not a ton of private sector to even compare to when it comes to dispatch and the COs in particular, but even a lot of those DPW positions. It is simply looking at what the state does, what the towns do, and what the counties and what the surrounding counties do. We've been talking about this for 5 or 6 years, a lot of this. This is where I truly believe I have dived in. I have spent probably more time on this than anything else in the last couple of years as a legislator. And I think there's a lot of people here that have been here for a couple of years that probably agree that these are some of the positions that we've been talking about. When you look at just the staffing numbers, when you look at the vacant positions and them not being filled, the number one thing it comes down to is pay. So when we talk about losing these individuals to Orange County and Dutchess County, and even some of these people in the highway department, we've begun to lose to town highway departments, which has never happened historically because the county was always better paid than the towns. We would take from the towns. The towns trained, and we took from them. We're now a training ground for other counties, the state, and even small towns around the county. I think this is beyond long overdue, and I feel very comfortable with the timing of this.
Minority Leader Roberts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to commend Legislator Maloney for putting this forward. This does not negotiate on behalf of the county executive. This does not guarantee a pay raise. This, it could be more or less or nothing at all. All this does is put money into a line item in the budget that we may or may not use.
Legislator McCullough.
I just want to say that I see $5.70 as the rate increase, but when the sponsor spoke, he said $5.90 a couple of times. So I just, okay, okay, thank you.
Thank you. All right. Majority Leader, you should tell.
Yeah, I just, I believe that this would completely undermine the collective bargaining process, which is a process that even though we're waiting for the salary study, the process has already begun, and I think it would if you don't have faith in the collective bargaining units, then that's, I understand that there might be people that feel that way, but I feel a vote for this would completely undermine collective bargaining in Ulster County, and I don't think that that is that's certainly not something I support.
Legislator Nolan.
Yes, I think that this does insert the legislature into the collective bargaining process in a way that's not helpful. I think the amounts are could be higher or lower than what the salaries end up being. The salary for the legislature is not included in the salary study, so waiting for that is not an option. It, however, was a recommended increase from a commission that did look at it. And so the distinction between this and the question of the salary for the legislators, I think, is really quite clear. And even the distinction of these particular pullouts from the rest of the salary study, there's not a reason to distinguish other than that there are more of these that are in collective bargaining, which should actually protect them from our putting our finger on the scale. So I think this comes down to a desire to keep this conversation going, and I'm supportive of the importance of the roles of these workers to the county. But I do think that considering everybody together, which is the purpose of the salary study, is the better way to go.
Legislator Hewitt.
Thank you. I'm very excited to see this mysterious salary study we keep hearing about. It's like a ghost. I'm not sure if they really exist. And that's why I'd like to thank Legislator Maloney for all this hard work. I think you're right. We could do our own salary study, and this is a great step toward that study. Thank you.
Legislator Maloney.
Put money aside and letting the unions and the executive branch of government know that the fund appropriators and the policy-making body of this county expects and is supportive of seeing significant raises to these areas that have hundreds and hundreds of employees. I think it's completely appropriate, and I believe it's needed. Hearing that after all this talk, we're waiting for the salary study, and we're all pumped up, and we're gonna finally pay all of these hardworking civil servants what they deserve. And then we hear that basically what the exec has planned to do is offer a 4%, well, 1-year contract with a 4% raise. That is not what I want to see. And I think this body should let the executive and the unions know we think they deserve more and that we have the money. We're fund appropriators. We're putting the money to the side and letting everyone know we have it, and we want to give it to our civil servants, and it's long overdue. I think it's completely appropriate, and I actually think it's needed.
Legislator Collins.
I just want to be clear on a few things. These amendments do not increase anyone's salary. All it does is it moves money from one fund to another fund. Correct? This is a question to the
Clerk Feaster?
Yes.
Is this something that you feel comfortable answering?
Two out of three of them are four raises.
Do those raises take effect? Sorry, those raises take effect immediately.
Can you please identify which two are?
Five and seven.
Can we unblock? I'm not going to make that. Just a question. Okay, so my understanding has just changed over what I thought was going on. And if five and seven increase salary, the total impact is about $1 million, give or take. I'm looking at seven is, yeah, it's about $1 million. Five and seven together, about $1 million. Okay, so for six, six does not increase salary, it just puts money in reserves. That is correct. Okay, thank you. And that is $8.4 million being put into reserve. So my question to the sponsor of this is, how much of that $8.4 million has already been put into reserve by us passing Amendment 20, which is also about $8.4 million? Are we now going to put away two $8.4 million to put away basically $17 million? Or are we going to rely on the first $8.4 million from Amendment 2 to take care of what Amendment 7 is trying to do?
Legislator Maloney?
Look, I'd be happy to do both. It's a fair point, Jeff. They were kind of battling in committee. One was going to earmark and say we start with the COs for that 8.4. I think it's fair to unblock. I'll make a motion to pull six out and keep five. And actually, I'll make a motion to separate them all. And we don't have to have a ton of discussion on both five and seven necessarily. But I'll make a motion to unblock five, six, and seven. I would like to see the COs. Everybody knows I'm all about the COs. I would like to see it earmarked. I do think we're going to be up in a $15 million range if we really give the raises we need. I'll be a yes to bring the $8 million over, but they were dueling and basically the exact same thing. One didn't kind of earmark and put a preference on the COs, and we passed the other one, but it came first. So I will understand whatever anybody wants to do with that. If people are with me and we think we want all that money aside, because I actually think – that's where we're heading. I mean, even going back a couple of years and talking to Tracy Bartels, I mean, she used to mention $20 million. You know, when we finally, you know, take a look at how underpaid our civil servants in particular are, we're looking at a ton of money, but I get it. So it's a fair point. I make a motion to reseparate, and start with five and go from there.
Okay, so there is a motion on the floor to unblock, and there's a second for that. On that motion... Okay, a long roll has been called on unblocking these three that we just blocked.
On the motion made to consider 5, 6, and 7 as separate amendments, Clinton.
Yes.
Collins.
Yes.
Criswell.
Yes.
Donaldson.
Yes.
Green.
Hanset.
Yes.
Harmon.
Yes.
Hewitt.
Yes.
Kitchen.
Yes.
Kovacs.
Yes.
Levine.
Yes.
Litz.
Yes.
Lopez.
Yes.
Maloney.
Yes.
McCullough.
Yes.
Nolan.
Yes.
Roberts.
I'm a yes, and hoping nobody remembers that I'm the one that originally made the motion to block.
Barry.
Yes.
Stewart. You should tell.
No.
And Walls.
Yes.
The motion is adopted 20-1.
Okay, so now I'm going to ask the original question. Are there any other amendments that legislators would like to offer?
I'll offer seven.
All right. So proposed amendment seven is seconded by Minority Leader Roberts. Legislator Maloney.
So I think many of us were here. We remember when 40 to 50 individuals came into several meetings. In fact, there was a huge meeting down the road at the CSEA Center where there was 10 or 12 individuals from the Highway Department that contacted Albany and were threatening to get out of the union and stop paying their union dues and everything because they were so upset with what happened to them. This fixes that. We told them to wait. They waited. Here we are. We have all the city money. A large portion of individuals got this in that small department, in that department, and this is the way to make it right. We promised these men and women we'd make it right, and I hope that we do this. And if we do, I'll be a yes on the budget. That's how bad I think we need this, and that's how deserved and necessary I think it is.
Okay, on the amendment. This is amendment number 7, everyone. Oh, Legislator Collins, did you want to speak on it?
I do, thank you. Question again to the sponsor on Amendment 7. So this is applying an increase of $5.70, I believe it is, to a certain number to people in the buildings and grounds. Their contract ends on December 31st, 2024. So what happens to that negotiation now that we're saying we're going to give you at least $5.70, which is probably at least what they should be getting? So how does that affect the negotiation that the county is going through with the union?
Dave,
please continue. Okay.
The question is, how does us basically preemptively giving a raise affect our ability to negotiate a raise?
So is this an actual question to the sponsor, or is this a rhetorical question?
It can be rhetorical, or you can answer it if he has a question, has an answer.
I believe they get the $5.90 that they should have gotten last time, and the negotiations, or the $5.70. Thanks, Greg. And the negotiations go on with them getting what they should have gotten years ago, and then the whole DPW and the whole CSEA will negotiate, but they'll be made right. And we've already know there's an offer out there of 4%. These people are not going to get this unless we do it. So we do it. We make it right. We fix the what happened. And now they go forward, evened up with the rest of their colleagues in DPW the way they should have 3 years ago.
Majority Leader, you should.
I'll just say this again. I will answer my colleague's question. This when this first was brought to us after the contract, it undermined the collective bargaining process then. It undermines the collective bargaining process now.
Legislator Maloney.
The contract's over now. They're going to get this raise upon the contract being over. We literally said wait until this time period, and we can do that. That's what we told them. This is now not in the middle of the contract. It's the contract is over. It's over in a couple of weeks. This would go into effect right when the contract's over, and they can have the even pay they should have had and negotiate going into the future with the fair pay for the half that didn't get it. They sat out. We didn't give it to them.
Majority Leader, you should tell.
So we don't tell them that we're going to give it to them and just give it to them. We shouldn't have told them that then. We shouldn't tell them that now. We shouldn't do it now. There is a collective bargaining negotiation process that is happening now, right? Regardless of whether there's a salary study, there is a negotiation that is beginning now. And this ain't it. It is not for legislators to insert themselves in the negotiating process at this stage. That's not how it works, and it shouldn't be how it works.
Legislator Nolan.
Yes, I think to respect the collective bargaining process, must let those that do the collective bargaining bargain with each other. and I trust the employees and their representatives to bring forward these concerns, and they, in my view, have a right to bring forward for potential redress the inequity, if such it was. That is for them to do, and I think that they're, you know, I can support the notion of wanting to stand in solidarity with that. I just think that if the legislature starts doing this, we do not have collective bargaining anymore. We have people coming to legislators and asking for what they think they deserve, and then those legislators bringing their arguments forward and trying to convince other members of the legislature of this, and the legislature takes on the role of salary setting for the units when we have no information about how that all works and how it works together. So I have a tremendous amount of respect for the collective bargaining process and think that these amendments are non-starters because of a lack of respect for that process.
Legislator Litz.
What I think is pretty ironic is that when we voted today to raise our salary, if we said only 11 people get the raise and the rest of them don't, I think the attitude in this chamber would be totally different. People would be arguing on why they get it and I don't get it. We're all legislators. We're all representatives. Why is only half of us getting a raise and the other half is not? What this amendment does is take the people that did not get their $5.70 raise 3 years ago and bring them up even with the people that did. It was an injustice, and we're trying to rectify an injustice. And I suppose if this passes, maybe we'll make an amendment to give half of the legislators their raise and the other half not.
Legislator Green.
Yeah, I don't think that this is anything other than setting the money aside. The collective bargaining process can continue.
No.
And
5 and 7 are 6s.
Oh. And aren't we on 7 right now?
Yeah,
7
gives the
issue. Okay. Legislator Maloney.
This was from the actual Section 1 Salary Increases A. This was the contract from 2021. Effective December 31st, 2020, DPW salary schedule increased by 570 across the board before the wage increases below are applied, non-retroactive. Every single man and woman in DPW was under the impression for months that they were getting this raise until they found out they didn't. And now they're being offered 4% with the half of DPW that already had the raise. This will not happen. This wronging, and it's even worse than what Herb says, it's as if we pass tonight a raise for the legislature, and then 11 of us find out because we're odd numbers or even numbers, we don't get it, and it's in the fine print. Let's just make it right. I'm begging everybody. Can 12 of us make this right?
Legislator Collins.
So I've been in a union before. I understand what it's like to be a union worker. I understand the inequity that we're talking about here. But I also respect the collective bargaining process, and I'm going to allow the collective bargaining process to go through, to go forward here. If after that collective bargaining process happens, there are unhappy workers, I will walk the picket line with them. But for right now, let's let the collective bargaining, let's let the union work, let's let the county work. Thank you.
Legislator Kitchen.
I agree with Legislator Litz, Legislator Maloney. Certainly walking the picket line is not going to put money in their pockets. It's going to put them out of work. I think there's fair, should be fair and equal pay. Nobody, everybody should have got this across the board. I'm in favor and I support this, and we all should all support our county employees. Thank you.
Legislator Stewart.
So I have a question, and I'm not really sure who to address this question to, but I mean, do we know that this inequality that took place 5 years ago or 4 years ago or whenever it was, I mean, do we know that that this has not been addressed in the collective bargaining already. And I'm wondering if maybe we could see what their negotiations come out to be, and then see if there is still this inequity that perhaps then we could vote these people that raise. But I just feel a little confused that we're voting on something that we don't know how or if it has been addressed or is being addressed.
Legislator Kovacs? A long roll has been called.
Call it sooner.
Okay. So, on proposed amendment number 7, Clinton.
I'd just like to make a few comments before I vote. I do have a couple of concerns regarding only selecting a handful of positions and not knowing if we're leaving anyone out. I do have concerns about collective bargaining agreements being undermined, which would never want to be my intention. And I do know that we have a salary study that's coming soon. But with that being said, I'm a yes.
Collins.
I'm a no.
Criswell.
I, too, have been a union member for many years, and I actually served as a union rep. And I believe in the collective bargaining tool, and I'm going to be a no.
Donaldson.
With the information I have now, I am going to be a no.
Green.
Yes.
Hansett.
Yes.
Harmon.
If we're not here to right past wrongs, I don't know why we are here. I am. I have concerns about the bargaining process, but this just brings us up to date, as near as I can tell. I am a yes.
Hewitt.
Yes.
Kitchen.
Yes.
Kovacs.
I'd like to explain my vote. First of all, I never got to say this before, but I've been a union member when I was an adjunct professor at SUNY Dutchess. And my wife is a very proud union member herself. I would remind all of us that this body sets policy for Ulster County, and I don't think this undermines the collective bargaining agreement. So I will be a yes.
Levine.
Pass.
Litz.
I'll explain my vote. God, I've been doing a lot of that tonight. I'm going to be a yes, because if we don't do this now and they go through the collective bargaining procedure and the union signs on a dotted line and the county executive signs on a dotted line, we've missed it, because that's a contract. If we start trying to modify a contract between the union and the county, that's not the appropriate time to do this. We need to do it before the contract is signed, so that it's part of the contract and not superseding or trying to do something that will try to supersede the contract, which legally we do not have the rights to do.
Lopez. Maloney.
Yes.
McCullough.
Yes.
Nolan.
Under the notion that we shouldn't intervene in a contract, and believing that these employees are under a current contract that was negotiated in the collective bargaining process, I think we should let them stay in the contract they're in, and we should let them negotiate the contract they will have. I don't know what they do after this. And, you know, it sets a rate of pay, but what about the other elements of their contract? Is this now their contract that the legislature now has hired them? This is a procedure that, you know, that is outside of what I understand the process to be for people who have agreed for these positions to be handled through collective bargaining. We did have representatives come and complain about this. This language was read to the legislature. There were representatives who explained that there were different categories and so forth that led to this differential. Those were not completely satisfying to me. But I would rather have that explanation and the people who gave it come back to us and go through that again and really be sure about this rather than just have it be brought back up again. Because I really don't think this is the right process to go through to right this wrong. I do have great sympathy, though, if there is a wrong, that we find a way to right it. Doing it at the budget time like this means that we just kind of have a yes or no vote on this. And maybe there's a better way to express our concern about that prior decision. There was language that I think did indicate, you know, was quite reasonable for people to assume that they were going to get a raise when you use language like across the board. What I understood the explanation to be was that it was across the board that was on this sheet, and it was not across the board that was on this other sheet. And so people had different understandings of what the board was that was promised. What my question would be is, do these positions deserve this salary? And that is, a question that I hope that the collective bargaining units would address and that they would answer. And then if there's still complaints, come back to us. So I'm a no at this time.
Roberts.
Yes.
Sperry.
Yes.
Stewart.
I, too, have formerly been a member of a union. And though I am concerned that my vote may set a bad precedent in future negotiations, I feel like we need to right a wrong. And I am a yes on this.
You should tell.
I think this sets a horrible precedent. I'm disappointed to see that we're doing an end run on the collective bargaining process. So I'm a no.
Walls.
Valid points made on both sides. I'm a yes.
Levine.
I'm going to be a yes tonight. Thank you.
So this amendment, proposed amendment number 7, passes 16-5.
Are there any other amendments that the legislature would like to offer? Legislator Hewitt.
Yes, this could be quick. I would like to move proposed amendment 15 to provide funding to the planning department for the completion of a Rondout Valley magnetic levitation light rail feasibility study.
Is there a second? Seeing no second, I'm going to move us along. Legislator McCullough, were you seconding that? Thank you. Yes, Legislator Hewitt.
Thank you. My first question would be, does the planning department want this $100,000? And my honest answer is, I'm not sure, because I have more work to do on this concept. But I do want you to picture the future with me and imagine if the federal government was investing in rail instead of automobiles so much. Imagine we had the funding for a light rail system to connect Kingston to Port Jervis, which has a Metro North station that could lead us to New York City. I also would like you to imagine all of our stations rebuilt from Kingston through High Falls, Kerhonkson, Accord, Ellenville, Port Bend, Wurtsboro, Port Jervis. And also imagine the restaurants, galleries, museums, and shops that we can incentivize by promoting transit-oriented development, which would be multi-story density around all of those stations, and commercial at the street level. There would also be wayfinding in these quiet vehicles that come every 5 to 10 minutes, and it's feasible and possible with 1 to 2 cars instead of heavy rail, which is about 20 cars. And then this wayfinding would tell you what's happening at every station, and you could take a flyer and find out about the events, restaurants, galleries, and events. This would mean you can hop on a train station in Accord, hang out with Legislator Stewart in High Falls, and then go back home, and if you drink, you don't have to drink and drive. and you can have your spouse pick you up at the station or take an Uber home. So this is a future I think is coming. Is this the resolution to make it happen? I don't think so, but thank you for listening.
Legislator Nolan, then Legislator Litt. Legislator Nolan.
A question to the sponsor through the chair. How many miles is it that would be contemplated here? And what is the average cost for maglev per mile?
Legislator Hewitt?
That is an answer I don't have, and a reason that I think we need a feasibility study, and a reason I need to do more work.
Am I follow-up?
Yes, follow-up.
I believe it's not a $100,000 question, the number of miles and the cost per mile. To spend $100,000 on a feasibility study for something that, just a rough guess from me, is probably millions, if not billions of dollars, with technology that may not even work in this section. I mean, the to bring forward this kind of proposal, if it's built on a solid foundation of something that's achievable and that this money can help us accomplish, I would support that. Maglev is something I think is a fantastic thing, but it doesn't run affordably at national or state levels yet, regional levels. So the feasibility study is just asking a few questions. And to pay, to take this money, this is the money that should go back to taxpayers. Because to take this money and give it to any consultant on this subject is such a waste. I'm speechless at the notion that we would, that somebody who I respect a great deal will bring forward something to put $100,000 to it and not bring it to the Environment Committee first, or bring it to some group who could look at these very basic questions. So I think whatever the impulse here is, it needs to be redirected to getting the first stages that would not cost our taxpayers for us to get this information.
Legislator Collins, followed by Legislator Maloney, followed by Legislator Litz, followed by Legislator Stewart.
I think to be able to imagine all of the things my colleague has asked us to imagine, we'd have to first imagine a federal government not in the pockets of the oil and gas companies. We have to imagine a whole different political system within this country. We'd have to imagine a system where people actually come first and not second. That doesn't happen right now. So, unfortunately, I can't imagine what he's asking without a lot of changes structurally in our electoral system, our political system, and our government as a whole.
Thank you. Legislator Maloney?
Yeah, I don't think the sponsor was serious in any way, not in a bad way, but this was a let's think big, let's be innovative. Obviously, I don't think you might even vote no on this. If you were the deciding vote, I'd have to guess. So I get it. Let's move on.
Legislator Litz.
Yes, through the chair to the sponsor. Where was this going to go, the O&W corridor?
Yes.
So we'd be tearing up all the bike paths we built with all of that county money and local money, tear it up to put the maglev in?
This is where rail and trail would be feasible, because the old D&H canal is still a right-of-way.
Legislator Stewart.
I just wanted to commend my colleague, Legislator Hewitt, for putting this idea out there. I mean, it's forward-thinking, and I think that is, you know, something we need to do more of, and imaginative, and you know, a very interesting idea. Unfortunately, I think that's kind of where it is right now, though. It's just kind of an interesting idea. And so I would recommend that my colleague and other members of this body put some more thought into this and perhaps revisit it at a later date. And I also want to mention something that
Legislator Hewitt brought up as well, and I would be more than happy to have a drink with any of my colleagues, either in Accord or High Falls, at any time. So you have my number.
Thank you. Deputy Majority Leader Levine.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the sponsor of this resolution, you know, starting the conversation on this topic. I think it's a, it's, you know, maglev trains are, you know, in the future in the United States of America in terms of transportation infrastructure. I mean, we've seen other countries such as Japan, much more compact, you know, smaller geographic area where it makes sense. I would like to see this, you know, in my lifetime become something that's feasible in the United States. However, I would say, you know, I on this resolution in particular, you know, I don't necessarily see the benefit of extending a line to Port Jervis for folks to be able to take, you know, for access to New York City and everything, because we don't, there is not a one seat ride on the west side of the Hudson right now for residents to be able to get to New York City. You have to transfer in New Jersey. It's a big sticking point that residents in Orange and Rockland counties have had for years. So I really don't even see that the feasibility or benefit of this right now, because you're, even if it was being built, it would still be having to be transferring someplace in New Jersey. So I would love to see increased rail service on the west side of the Hudson to be able to allow one-seat travel into New York City. And again, I want to see maglev become something that's more feasible. But again, as a few of my colleagues have mentioned, I don't think it's feasible on a regional or even statewide level. It's going to be having to be something that's going to be invested in by the federal government. And, you know, for that reason, I can't support this resolution as it's written. But I appreciate the you know, the effort bringing it forward and starting that conversation. So thank you.
On the amendment.
I think we might be a short no. With one yes, Legislator Hewitt. And Legislator McCullough.
We're a short no.
And Legislator Green. We're a short no with three yeses, Green, McCullough, and Hewitt.
Still a short no.
Thank you.
The amendment is defeated 3-18.
I also appreciate your imaginative thinking. Are there any other amendments?
Sorry to say yes.
I'm going to actually call a five-minute break because I need one, and I see other people in the room who's glazing over, so...
Thank you.
Please take your seats. We're back in session. Thank you. Oh, everybody looks so much better. All right. Legislator Hewitt.
Thank you. I would like to move proposed Amendment 16 to provide funding for each of the 23 legislators for professional services contract that can only be spent on 501c3 nonprofit organizations that have their headquarters in Ulster County.
Is there a second for this? Legislator Stewart. Legislator Hewitt.
Thank you, Legislator Stewart. Even for the purpose of discussion, I think it's interesting that we're discussing raises, but raises, we could do whatever we want with that money. And Legislator Maloney mentioned that when we got raises, he went way beyond. My wife and I like to say yes on Giving Tuesday to every nonprofit that asks, whether we give $10, $5, $50. We like to say yes to nonprofits. And if we each had what sometimes is called a member item for $5,000, we could choose one nonprofit in Ulster County to support. That means county funds, taxpayer money, is going to support crucial services in the county. It's a fee for service, so there will be a contract. We each get to choose one 501c3, not a 501c6, which is a business group. And just like in Dutchess County, their agency partner grants would be similar. It's a fee for service.
Legislator Maloney.
That raised money I referenced before, I didn't give a single penny to a not-for-profit. I gave it right to the people that needed it. What I've noticed about not-for-profits, and I'm not for slush funds. I think I said in the last meeting, if I was ever on a higher level, I would take away these ridiculous legislative slush funds. Half the time they're used for all kinds of things. Even if this was just for not-for-profits, I have big problems with that. I think I'll be putting in a resolution next month that goes way further with what we expect and what we have access to in the contracts with not-for-profits, because what I'm getting is whistleblower after whistleblower after whistleblower from inside not-for-profits and from the people that are supposed to be receiving services from not-for-profits talking about a lack of service, embezzlement, waste. It's crazy, right? I mean, we all know what we've heard about Samadhi and all the missing cash, and I think it's even worse than that when we finally dive into that. There's a not-for-profit right now that we gave $150,000 to last year, and come to find out, $40,000 of it was taken by a couple of people that work at the not-for-profit, and they gave themselves bonuses, $10,000 bonuses right out of the $150,000 that we gave them to feed the homeless. I also have photos of the food that the people in these shelters have been getting, unedible, disgusting food. And there's lots more that I'm hearing about this not-for-profit and how it's behaving. We have to do something about, just because it's not-for-profit, just what I just heard from my colleague, who I respect a lot, but not-for-profits does not mean that you're a saint. We contract with a not-for-profit here in the county that pays their CEO $600,000 a year. We've got all these problems with these not-for-profits, and now we want to set up a slush fund just to give them even more. No.
On the amendment.
On the amendment, we are a short no with one yes, Legislator Hewitt. Two yeses, Legislators Hewitt and McCullough.
Short no.
The amendment is defeated 2-19.
Are there any other amendments? Minority Leader Roberts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to offer amendment number 43. It's the only amendment proposed today. It's separate from your packet, one you all have on your desk. It's the only amendment that actually increases revenue instead of spending money. It's for the sale of Elizabeth Street during the fiscal year 2025. And if you don't mind, Mr. Chairman, after I get a second, I would like to speak upon this.
Second.
Certainly. I've got a second from Legislator Maloney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This revenue, this amendment, after it passes, there'll be a tag-along resolution next week, a late resolution, to move this budget money of $699,998, as it is an ARPA money, as a loss into the budget. So as you know, that we're allowed, each municipality is allowed $10 million to move over. We're way short of that. So counting this as lost revenue as an ARPA fund will be the right thing to do. As getting back to the originality of this, we purchased this property back in 2021. Most of us here voted on it. I can't remember how I voted on it. Probably voted yes. You know, from the beginning, is probably something we shouldn't have done. We're getting a lot of budget amendments on how to fix it up, renovating. It's pretty much, this property is set up more of a boarding house or hotel than a what it's meant to be, emergency housing. It can never be used for that. As this whole thing has to be demoed, sheetrock, electric, plumbing, everything. It needs new roof, windows, elevator. No one's ever going to be able to use it for its original purpose that we paid almost $700,000 out of ARPA money. Myself and Legislator Maloney last year put a resolution in to force the sale. We pulled that after much debate in good faith, because the county executive said she had a plan, you know, and I'm sure she did, and it worked on it. Unfortunately, it fell through. Last June, I put another resolution in to force the sale. Before I did that, I called the county exec and asked her, you know, I told her what my plan was, and she said, you know what, can you hold off on that? I have another plan. I have a buyer. I didn't ask any questions. I just, you know, and I'm sure she did. Apparently that fell through, and the only reason I know about that, because I read it in Daily Freeman this weekend, which, you know, a little heads up on that would have been nice, but, you know, I'm just a minority leader. Anyway, so this will actually, you know, after we sell it, there's no guarantee we're going to get $699,000. We may get more, we may get less, but I think it's something that we should take leadership on and move this, pass this to force a sale of this property.
Legislator Maloney, followed by Majority Leader Uchitel.
Yeah, you know, this property was purchased for $675,000, which was pretty much asking. We were told at a meeting right around that time that they were not behind on their taxes. Phil Erner went into the city of Kingston and found out they were over 2 years behind on their taxes. This is a building we could have taken for free if we waited. A lot of questions around realty and asking price and why we did this. It was right in the middle of a congressional race that I've mentioned before, and there were a lot of press releases, and it was all about housing and respite housing, and look at what Pat Ryan's doing. Then he walked away from it and never looked back. We didn't even mow the lawn. And this building is a teardown. There are firms that do that. They literally go in and tell you, if you want to replace everything, do this and that, this is going to be the cost, and this is what it's going to cost to tear it down. This is such a teardown. We finally got a tour after a couple of us were asking for it. We got the tour, and what, 15 of us walked out going, oh, my God, this is a disaster. There's no way. I mean, this is like you're talking $10-plus million, and we were told it was going to take $500,000 or some nonsense. I believe it was Herb, John Gavars, and I from the very beginning that said this is a bad idea. Kevin's right. For the last couple of years, we've started to put things in, and as I often do, I listen to the senior statesman, and he came to me several times and said, let's meet the exec halfway. Joe, back off this, and let's give her time. She says she has a plan. Twice, I backed off with Kevin, and like Kevin says, just to find out, the plan fell apart, and we were never told. This building continues to dilapidate, and I'm just not sure why we haven't done this sooner. I mean, it's way overdue. We have to do something with this building. Put it up on the market, see what we can get, which is nothing, and then start the process of tearing it down. But this is the beginning of the process. Let us not sit with this dilapidating mess in the middle of a residential neighborhood in the city of Kingston any longer. Let's do what needs to be done. Let's rip off the Band-Aid and do what needs to be done.
Majority Leader Uchitel.
My understanding is that if we sell this building, we do not get the money at all. It would not go into fund balance. It would get returned to the federal government. I would love an answer to that before we voted on this. I don't think we're going to be able to get an answer to that tonight. This appeared on our desks tonight. And it hasn't been discussed in any committee. So my understanding is we wouldn't be increasing the fund balance at all. I'm open to evidence otherwise.
Legislator Collins.
I agree this building is a teardown. There's really no question it's a teardown. But we do need housing in the county, and this is a location that would be a great place for affordable housing. And yes, it might cost some money, and yes, it's probably a teardown, and yes, it's a project that we don't have designed yet, and yes, it's a project that's been promised for years and has never come through. I'm not quite done waiting for it yet. I'm hoping we can get it done. I'm hoping we can get affordable housing in that community. I'm hoping we can make this work. There's a lot of people working on this, a lot of people trying to make this happen. And it's a tough, tough thing to make happen, and it might take longer than we want it to make happen. So I appreciate the desire to cut bait, you know, to be done with this and move on. But I still have this desperate hope that we'll have affordable housing built on that property, and I can't give that up right now.
Legislator Maloney.
Right next to Golden Hill, I don't know why this is even, and it's not a huge, huge lot. We're going to end up tearing it down. No one's going to buy it. So we're not going to ever have to. I hope we do give the federal government back the money. It means we got something for the building. It's still tax dollars. It's still tax dollars. We pay federal taxes, but it's not going back because no one's going to give us anything. That building is worth negative money. It was when we paid $675,000 for it. It's a teardown. We're going to end up with a $30,000 to $40,000 lot to sell if there's no more environmental issues and there's not a bunch of buried oil tanks or whatever else that we don't know about yet. But by the end of this, we're going to spend a couple $1 million and we're going to have a lot. I mean, if you want to build something on it by that point, but let's just start with you have to try to put it up for sale. It's not happening. No one's going to buy it. We couldn't give it away for a dollar, so it's not. But this is the process that we need to go by as elected officials and working in government. We have to attempt to sell it, and then we tear it down. And then we can decide what to do with the lot.
On the amendment.
On the amendment, I believe we are a short no with one yes, Legislator Maloney.
Short yes.
The amendment is defeated 8-13.
Are there any other amendments that legislators would like to offer? And a second call. And a third call. I'm going to move us on then.
On Amendment 43, Proposed Amendment 43, it is defeated by a vote of 9-12.
Three more.
Thank you. We're moving on to the capital program now.
No, we didn't. Before we do that, thank you for that.
Oh,
that,
let's actually vote on the budget. How's that sound?
Yep, as amended.
All right. Do I have a motion to vote on the budget as amended?
I move that we vote on the budget as amended, Resolution 623, right?
Thank you.
621, Resolution 621.
I'll second that with the long roll, Mr. Chair, if you don't mind.
Thank you. Yes. Did you say a drum roll? Is that what you wanted?
Okay, this vote will be on Resolution 621, which is adopting the budget for the fiscal year commencing January 1st, 2025, with the amendments as adopted. Clinton.
Yes.
Collins.
Yes.
Criswell.
I just wanted to take a moment to thank everybody for their hard work. This is hours and hours of work and commitment to this process, and I want to just thank you all. I'm a yes.
Donaldson.
Yes.
Green.
Yes, and I have some other amendments that I will be bringing forward in the new year.
Hansett.
Yes.
Harmon.
Yes.
Hewitt.
Yes.
Kitchen. Kovacs.
I will vote yes on the budget because I believe we need to fund the county government in 2025, but I am concerned that we missed a chance to provide meaningful tax relief to the taxpayers of Ulster County, and I'm disappointed that we chose to raise our salaries in the middle of a term. Thank you.
Levine.
I just want to first thank my colleagues for a spirited debate on a number of the amendments this evening. But I also want to just say thank you to all the legislative staff for their tireless work this budget this budget season, especially to Amber and to Natalie. Thank you for everything that you've done for all of us in helping to make sure that we have the information needed to make informed decisions. So with all of that said, I cast my vote in the affirmative for the budget.
Litz.
I would like to explain my vote. I really appreciate all the work that goes in. There's a lot of work. It takes months, many, many long hours to produce a budget. And a lot of hard work and a lot of negotiations. But I'm going to vote no. And the reason I'm going to vote no is because I can't believe that we can sit here as a body of 23 legislators and vote ourselves a raise when our constituents are having a real hard time just getting along, paying their rent or gasoline, or making the choice between buying fuel oil for heat and feeding their family. But we can't give them any kind of relief at all, tax break, whatever. And then we turn around in moments, I mean milliseconds later, and vote ourselves a raise, an 11% raise, originally proposed as a 58% raise. It's very disingenuous. It really is. And I just hope that everybody is watching this and everyone took note. We did a long roll on a lot of things, and I hope our constituents were out there and watching how we conducted ourselves and how we voted, not in favor of them, but in favor of ourselves and just making more money. It's sad. It's very sad when we can't help the people that we represent. I am a no.
Lopez.
Yes.
Maloney.
You know, a budget, the definition of a budget, an estimate of income and expenditure for a set period of time, a budget is what you're going to do, how you're going to do it, how much it costs, and a good budget has desired outcomes and goals that could be analyzed year to year. We're told every year we're going to get that. We never do. We never look back to hold our own selves accountable and change. This budget does nothing about all the issues that I've talked about with the not-for-profits. It does nothing for to speed up these capital projects that are overdue and over budget and behind. It does nothing about Elizabeth Street. We tried. Our bridges are the worst in the county. We threw a few extra bucks at it. I think by the end of this year, we might be the second or third worst in the county, and I think that's what the budget looks like its goal is. OT, all these overtime schemes, comp OT schemes of management that I'm putting a resolution in very soon to do away with. I think we have to have an honest conversation about work from home. I think all management needs to be 40 hours. We're not going. This budget doesn't downsize the fleet or do anything about take-home vehicles. Doesn't do anything about ARPA funds and how slow the contracts and administrative side of things are going out. Does nothing about Tech City and the disaster that continues to be over there with the East Side running off generators, endless untransparent loan modifications, $1 million payment, a $670,000 payment not paid, no private investment as we were promised. The EDA hasn't even posted meeting minutes since October of 2021. So there we sit with another catastrophe that we're not dealing with. We're going to spend a couple of bucks on renaming the county office building, which I find offensive. And the biggest crisis in this county right now is our growing homelessness crisis that we don't want to talk about. We have hundreds and hundreds of people. Just a couple of years ago, we had 18 or 19 hotels that we contracted with. We're up to 43 in four different counties. Dirty water, people losing their legs from bug bites. Just unbelievable. Prostitution, pedophiles around kids. It's no heat. No heat. We just found, I just got a call from somebody that lost their brother. They found him in, at one of these places that we were putting him up at. It was 50 degrees. The cop said, there's no heat in here. What's going on? It's just unbelievable. And nothing in this budget does anything about really attacking or even acknowledging what's going on there. Last but not least, the COs. The COs have to be. We fixed one thing that I can't tell you how. I've never been happier up here in that for the last 10 or 15 minutes. I'm surprised we did it. I am so happy we did it. I even said I was going to vote yes on the budget if we did it. But after her, what, he just finished me off. I can't do it. For all those reasons, I'll be a very, very appreciative no on a couple of things we did here tonight in amendments. But overall, I just can't look myself in the mirror as a fund appropriator and approve this budget. On top of it all are those raises that Herb talked about. And I think we're out of touch. I don't think we get it.
McCullough.
Yes.
Nolan.
The people from my district who contacted me about the budget and specifically about salary increases for legislators all suggested that we do raise the salaries. So I said that I was a surprise to me that I voted yes, but my constituents came to me, and it wasn't just a few, it was several. And they had seen the discussion and thought we should do that. So I do think that, you know, other districts may be different, but in my district there was a recognition that there's hard work going on and that the legislators in this body are trying to bring this county in a good direction and earnestly striving to provide services to our residents. So I'm deeply appreciative of the constituents who reached out to me. If anybody felt differently and didn't reach out to me, please do. But I think we should be responsive to the people we represent. And the people in my district are really supportive of the work that we do and wanting us to continue doing it and continue heading in the directions we've been heading with our appropriations in this budget. I'm a little concerned that we may have passed an amendment that's illegal for us to for the county to implement, and so I will look for the legal staff, both of the legislature and the county, to look into that. But I'm a yes on the budget overall.
Roberts.
Thank you again, Madam Clerk. I'd like to thank my colleagues up here who worked not only the last month or so, but this is a year-round process to come up with a budget like this that actually increases the surplus or unrestricted fund balance and doesn't raise taxes. And it goes beyond what we do here. The executive staff deserves a round of applause. And all the hardworking employees that are productive, that contribute their energy and their time every day. And if I was a deciding vote, which I don't think I am, I'd probably be a yes. But since you guys have enough votes to pass this, I'm going to be a no because it doesn't provide much-needed property tax relief to the residents of Ulster County. We could afford that. $11 million is not a lot of money when you're talking about $210 million surplus. You're talking about 5% of the surplus going back to the taxpayers. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. If a Democrat had put that up, or if Pat Ryan was supporting this, or Jen Metzger, it would pass tonight. Because it was a Republican idea, Republican initiative, it's going to fail. And that we all should be ashamed of ourselves. So I'm going to be a no on this budget, and
hopefully for the 2025 budget, it actually begins January 1st. We got a lot of hard work to do. Thank you.
Sperry.
Yes.
Stewart.
Yes.
Uchitel.
Yes.
Walls.
Yes.
Kitchen.
I just want to say a couple words. Years ago, I had a representative where I live. I reached out to him many times, and I did not get a response from my local official. I told my wife someday if I ever get in a position where I could help people and be an elected official, I'd like to do that. In 2007, I got a knock on my door. Gentleman of the party asked me if I would come out and I would run for councilman in the town of Ulster. I was a councilman out there for the last 16 years prior to coming here, so I'm not new to this political game. I was making $10,000 a year, but I did it for 16 years. I did four election cycles. This is just my fifth election I've just won. And I want to echo what Herbie said. It's not about the money. And, you know, a good friend of mine who's passed away now, name was Jim Maloney, and I'm happy to represent District 4. He always told me, he said, Eric, don't forget. Always remember, it's not about the money. And I sit here tonight. The people of my district have elected me for the last almost 18 years. And I meet with people that are struggling in my district quite frequently because I'm in the grocery stores, I'm at Stewart's, I'm at the gas station. I talk to people every single day. And like Herbie said, and like I believe, I do not feel comfortable taking a raise and not giving anything back to my constituents. I would not want to show my face tomorrow morning at Stewart's when I get my coffee and hope that they didn't see this meeting. For those reasons, I vote no. Thank you.
The budget and Resolution 621 is adopted as amended by a vote of 17-4. And the last resolution is 622, adopting Ulster County Capital Program for 2025 to 2030.
Majority Leader Uchitel.
Yep. I move to block amendments 1 through 7 for the capital improvement plan.
Second the block.
And on the block?
On the act of blocking them, we are short yes.
We are a short yes with one abstention. Legislator Litz on number 2.
Thank you. And on the block itself?
We are short yes.
Short yes. Thank you.
The amendments are adopted 21-0 with the exception of amendment number 2, which is adopted 20-1 with one abstention. Legislator Litz.
Majority Leader Uchitel.
Yep. And there's one last amendment, amendment 8, which I move to adopt as presented.
Second.
And on that amendment?
On the amendment, we are a short yes.
Short yes.
Thank you.
On the amendment as amended?
As amended, sorry. On the amendment as amended.
On the amendment as amended, we are a short yes.
Thank you.
The amendment is adopted as amended 21-0.
Thank you. We're not quite over yet, so everybody just hang tight for a couple more minutes. We now move into a public comment period on matters not currently before the legislature.
Did we vote on 622 as amended? Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I am so sorry.
I'd like to move Resolution 622 as amended.
I'll second that.
Thank you. And on it.
On 622 as amended, we're short yes.
Short yes.
Thank you.
Resolution 622 is adopted as amended 21-0.
I was telling everybody to stay calm in there. I was jumping the gun. Sorry about that. I apologize. All right, moving on to public comment on matters not currently before the legislature. I just want to remind everyone that you have 2 minutes to speak on this period, and this period is on issues not before the legislature this evening. We encourage you to speak, and we ask that everyone keep their comments respectful. Clerk Fabella, do we have anyone signed up to speak?
We do not.
Is there anybody here who would like to speak on issues not before the legislature this evening? Anybody like to speak on issues not before the legislature? Is there anybody who would like to speak on issues not before the legislature this evening?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion
yes.
to adjourn.
Yes. And is there a second? Thank you. Thank you, Legislator Litz. All in favor? Any opposed? Thank you. The next regular meeting of the Ulster County Legislature will be held on Tuesday, December 17th, 2024 at 6 p.m. in the Legislative Chamber, 6th floor, Ulster County Office Building, 244 Fair Street, Kingston, New York. Please note this earlier start time of 6 p.m. Please note the earlier start time of 6 p.m. for the next meeting, everybody. Thank you. And both Republican and Democrat caucus will take place at 5 p.m. I ask for a motion to adjourn. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I did?